Welcome to the Plastic Plesiosaur Podcast.
We are your hosts, Trey the Explainer.
And me, Miles Greb.
A podcast about the natural world.
Things that people claim are part of the natural world.
And things that used to be.
Well, Trey, we're back with another episode, buddy.
Yeah. It's good to be back. How you been, yep. Man?
Pretty good. You know, we're waiting until my football team was done to sort of start recording this episode. And we did win over my hated rivals. But our big star rookie quarterback broke his fucking leg.
Oh, in the
game? Yeah, his leg was like turned sideways. Like,
that's terrible. So, oh, God.
Yeah. So I'm having mixed feelings this afternoon, you know? It's like, it's weird. But doing pretty good overall. I went fishing the other day and I saw a bunch of crawdads.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw my video.
I saw the pic. Yeah. There was some, you call them crawdads?
Yeah, crawdads, man. What do you call them down south?
Crawfish.
Oh, yeah, crawfish. Yeah, crawdad. Whatever kind of craw you got going on. But, yeah, he was sneaking up behind me, like, in the bush. Like, he wasn't in the water, right? I heard something. I was like, what the fuck is that? I didn't know what it was. And then, like, I looked down, and he was just out there with his claws looking at me. And he has a little burrow he went through, and he went to the fucking cement thing, and he jumped, like, 5 feet down into the water. I'd never seen that before.
Dang. So,
that's crazy. That was pretty cool. We got some good nature up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what other kind of critters live up here in the Northwest?
Well.
maybe we'll find some.
Maybe we'll talk about that.
Maybe we'll find some. So what have you been doing? You doing your school? You learning?
Yeah, I'm learning. I like just finished an essay, and then earlier today I rode a horse for the first time, so that was pretty fun.
You rode a horse? Well, okay. Well, tell me about this whole horse scenario.
Oh, this horse? Well, I just randomly decided just to ride a horse.
Like,
it might be fun.
Did you find the horse? Did you order the horse?
Oh, no, it was lessons. It was lessons.
Okay, you took a horse lesson. Okay.
There's now feral horses.
I know you really like Alexander the Great. I'm sure he conquered, took a lot of horses. You could have been doing some of your research, got inspired, went and found a horse, you know?
So. Yeah, no, that was definitely a factor, my interest in, like, classical warfare and stuff.
I know you, buddy.
Yeah. And it was pretty fun. The horse's name was Bree, and it was for a lesson, and it's pretty good. It hurts your legs like crazy, though. Oh, my gosh.
It does, yeah.
I'm prepared for that.
I used to have a horse.
You did? Whoa, as a kid?
Yeah, my grandpa gave it to me. I named him Osiris because he had a weird moon. He had a moon-shaped little white spotch on his head, so I called him that. And the first time I rode him, my grandpa put him on me, and he said, learn how to ride a horse. I was like, okay. That's what he told me to do. I was like 7, 8, and he rode me directly into a blackberry bush. Not like a little blackberry bush, like a 2-story house tall blackberry bush that's like by the side of the river. That's like the property line. You know, so that was fun. I made it out alive, though.
Yeah, I'm happy you survived.
Yeah, I'm strong. I'm able. I did okay.
Yeah, no, it was really fun. I want to do it again. It was, it really works out your like inner thighs and stuff. Like, holy cow, like you're constantly like exerting it. It hurts, but yeah. it's a lot of fun. And then like, it's kind of cool, like where it's like a relationship with an animal. Like it's not like riding a motorcycle or like a bike or something like that.
Yeah. That's why there's so many horse girls, man.
Yeah. Horse girl. I guess I'm a horse boy now.
That's you could. Yeah. That's terrible. I have to put the hope this doesn't awaken something in me line in there.
This better not awaken anything in me.
Yeah, but it's been good. It's been good.
That's good. You working on your new video?
No.
No, fuck that. Absolutely not. So, that's all right.
It's been busy. It's been busy.
You got one out a month ago. You got one out a month ago. You're doing good.
I got 5 months to wait and do nothing, and then I have to start up again.
So you haven't even apologized for not having a new video out nearly enough. You know, we need like 6 or 7 different Trey. I'm sorry, guys. I've been busy until we get a new Trey video. That's just how
the video time, like between videos, is exponentially growing. Like it's not good. I need to stop it. But
And I need to get the next after the Gold Rush issue out. I'm starting to hear it about that. But making stuff is hard, man.
It is. You know? It is. It's like you got to set aside like time in your day, and especially with the editing or writing, and like especially like sucks. Like, you have to be inspired almost.
I only have like so much time to eat beef jerky on my couch and rewatch Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, if I start making the art that people expect from me, I'll have to cut down that time. And that's a hard decision, you know, not one I'm not ready to make yet.
I'm interested to hear what our guest has to say about like the YouTube process as a fellow YouTuber.
Okay, well let's bring him on, I guess. So
and now it's time for another Plastic Plesiosaur podcast intro.
So I, you know, we got Trey the Explainer, right? Yeah. And I'm Miles. I don't have a the. So Miles, I'm just I'm just Miles Greb. I don't have a the. But so we thought we'd bring in another the person to our show. And so I'd like to introduce Ralph the Movie Maker.
Ralph the Movie Maker. Yeah. Hi. How is everybody?
There he is.
Just sitting here quietly. Yeah. Sitting here quietly listening to you. I'm like, oh, yeah. Interesting.
This is crazy to me that we got Ralph on the show, because like I've been a huge fan for like years. It's, this is awesome.
Really?
I'm in disbelief. Yeah.
Okay, you should ask me sooner then.
Yeah. I was like, you know, we were like, who should we have on the show?
I got scared. Yeah. I get like a little like scared, like of a famous YouTuber, like especially who I'm a fan of. I'm like, oh, what if they don't like me?
I'm not that famous. But
you're doing pretty good too, Trey.
Yeah, you're doing great. It's true. You're doing great.
I'm the weird guy in the show. I'm popular in the indie comic book scene, you know. So okay, I'm like in a whole different scene.
We'll do your comic book iceberg video.
Oh yeah.
You guys are like interested in archaeology, whatever. That's like perfect timing, because like just this weekend I went to the Museum of Natural History. Like,
oh fuck yeah!
Oh, cool.
And as you know, so there's like a lot of dinosaur fossils there, and you know, there's Lucy's there, the 4 million year old Homo sapien, like the first person.
Yeah, seeing Lucy would be awesome, right? Like,
oh, yeah, it was super awesome. It was so cool. I'm like, yeah, it's great. I took pictures in front of all the dinosaur fossils and whatever. I'm like, yeah, it's great.
It's kind of wild. Like, you listen to like creationists or people like that, and they're like, oh, there's no transitionary fossils. Like, where's the proof? And then like you're just staring there, looking at it. You're like, oh yeah, that's a half monkey, half person right there.
Yeah, the Earth is like 300 years old or whatever, according
to them.
It's like really silly.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Like, forget the fossil evidence. Just look at like a mountain. You told me that mountain got there in 600 years. Like,
it's the flood, Miles. Yeah. The flood carved it all.
I mean, I got like Mount Rainier is just down the road from me, you know, and it's just fucking giant. There's no way that many rocks stacked on top of each other in 600 years. Come on. Ridiculous. So, yeah. So, Ralph, I think that I came upon your stuff mostly because, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer than that, you know, kind of like atheism and skepticism were kind of more popular on YouTube at the time, you know.
Yeah.
I think the trend of kind of shift like after Trump got elected, because everyone kind of focused on how insane that shit was. And like the Christians never really had any new arguments. So they kind of got a little dull beating that dead horse. But but you had like a really good video on Bigfoot. And you had a really good video on ghosts, and I was like, oh, I like this guy. I think I first was like, yeah, I'm a fan of Ralph is when you were yelling at people for believing in ghosts, because I get very emotional and I would say annoying when the topic of ghosts are brought up, because I fucking hate them. And I was
you got really upset with the Monster Quest episode on ghosts.
Not a fan. Yeah. I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't really like ghost movies much. Like, they don't do anything for me. Like, they're not scary to me.
Yeah.
It's like good
like
movies.
Conjuring. In them.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm like, that's a decent movie, like, in terms of, like, the filmmaking, but not, like, in terms of scaring me. Like, yeah, that doesn't really scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're all, like, based on the Warrens, pretty much, and they're bullshit, you know? Like,
yeah.
And they're just two weird Catholic people that don't know anything about anything and been milking this stupid Raggedy Ann doll they had for 40 years.
Yeah, that doll, right. It's like, oh, yeah. And, like, you know, the movies are heavily exaggerated. Like, the real story is like, oh, we heard something. And then, like, the movie's like Annabelle's flinging chairs across the room and, like, crazy shit.
You think people, like, bleeding from their eyes and floating on the ceiling was exaggerated? Yeah. Is that? Yeah.
My favorite thing is, have you seen the, oh gosh, what was it called? I saw this in theaters. That's how embarrassing it is. I saw Annabelle Comes Home.
You saw in theaters.
And that's like just a completely fake movie. Like, it's just not based on any historical event at all. It's just like Annabelle controls the house and like they see like ghost samurai and werewolves and stuff.
Okay, hold on. Now you got me. Go ghost samurai.
Oh, it's an interesting movie. It's essentially, the plot of it is it's like on the child of the two, whatever they're the Warrens. their daughter, and she's like has a babysitter, and the babysitter like opens the glass case or whatever that the Raggedy Ann's in, and she in the in Annabelle like unleashes all the other stuff in like the that room. You know, like how they have that room that has all the cursed objects.
Yeah,
it's kind of a fun topic, like subject, I guess. It's,
I guess.
It was like creepypastas. That's all it was. It was a whole bunch of random creepypastas.
I would rather do a show on Bigfoot's dick than talk about that ghost bullshit. So.
Like, no way that shit's real. Yeah.
We talked about Bigfoot's shit, so it's not
we did. We did.
So yeah. I don't know what's more far-fetched, the Bigfoot stuff or like the ghost stuff. I guess they're both like far-fetched.
I would say there's more likely Bigfoot because at least he's a dude, you know? And like, what the fuck's a ghost? Like, what is it made out of?
Yeah,
like, it's just nothing.
Right, but, do you have a take on Bigfoot? Yeah. Are you a Bigfoot believer? Or...
Who, me?
Yeah, yeah.
he got drunk and went and found him. Actually, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the woods with all those redneck guys, like with the guns. Yeah, I was like watching all these shows, like in college, just like 100 different like Bigfoot shows. Like, there's so many different ones. The Finding Bigfoot, like whatever, and they're like so like these people are like nuts, like just like in the woods with guns, like hunting them down. It's clearly fake. Like they're getting like possessed by Bigfoot and like whatever.
Oh my god!
Yeah, when you sent me like this one, and I was wondering like, okay, so they must have seen my Bigfoot video. What is it?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on though. Hold on. We got to save that monster quest for the end. Though.
Yeah, sure. I don't want
that's what the people on Patreon pay us for. They want to hear about that monster quest. So
yeah, but it's so bizarre. Like, I don't know if these people believe it or not, or if they're just like they do it for money. I don't know. I'd like to think there's like something genuine there. You know, I don't want to think like everyone's like a scam artist or like.
Well, I think they believe, man.
I think there's some people who definitely believe it, or like, you know, some people tell the stories. It's like, okay, I can see like why you think you saw Bigfoot. You saw like a shadow at night, but you know that could have been like a, you know, that could have been anything. It could have been a deer, right? Like I don't know. Like the idea that you actually saw Bigfoot is so. Like far-fetched to me, and I think that original Bigfoot photo is like proven to be fake at this point.
Basically the one you're talking about so that's a lady Bigfoot. It's supposed to be a big titted Bigfoot girl, and
that's a lady Bigfoot.
it's supposed to be a lady Bigfoot. It's a guy. It's a tall guy who ordered a suit and football pads, and he's wearing football pads and stuff under the suit, which gives it some of its kind of weird body proportions.
Miles, who are you talking about? The strides. No human could replicate those strides, man.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they fucking say. But and it's funny because like he had this plan. He has a journal where he's drawing the big titty Bigfoot. Like a few days before this, it was all planned and shit. So like,
and it's literally a big titty Bigfoot. Like those drawings, literally is massive.
Yeah, so I'm not like exaggerating to be funny. It's a giant titted Bigfoot. It's what it is. It's a fact. Like,
have you seen some of the people that believe that they've gone through the footage frame by frame and saw like a baby Bigfoot attached on their back? Like a chimpanzee. This is a lot. Like when you get enough people, there'll be a lot of crazy aggregates. It's
you know what's weird is like we live in the information age, all this technology, and the Bigfoot film is probably the second most analyzed film, like a couple seconds of film after the JFK film, and like the most analyzed person is Chris Chan. So like this is what we're doing with our time. Like all the it's these two people. It's this guy pretending to be Bigfoot, and then whatever the heck Chris Chan is. So that's. Yeah. If you don't know who that is, don't Google it. Don't you dare Google it.
That documentary about him's like still going. It's like a 58 part documentary.
Yeah.
It's an
hour long. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah. It's gonna have a worse ending than Game of Thrones, that story. Hey. That's for you, Trey.
Oh no, Ralph has a really great what's the last season?
Season 7 and 8. You know the bad.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys talk about this. I'll take my drink because I have no idea what I don't watch this stuff.
But yeah, it got really bad, right? And like so I did a video around season 7 time, And that's like, but it was before like everyone started dogpiling on the show for how like bad it got. That's like season 8. But at season 7, I started to see like the wear and tear of it. So I made that video. I'm like, guys, this isn't like as good as it was like before. And people were like, no, Ralph, you're crazy. Like, and then like season 8, everyone's like, Ralph, you're totally right. Like, it was totally fall apart. Like, I'm like, yeah, like the writing, like, I don't know what happened. It got like a CW show. Like, the two creators are like, yeah, we're making the show for families now. It's like, what? Like this is like the most violent show. There's like tons of nudity. Like, and then like at the end of it, it became like, I don't know, it became like a family show. It was so bizarre.
So you were like the scientist from like a Ralph Emmerich movie.
Yeah.
Who was just like, the thing's gonna blow and no one's listening to you.
Roland Emmerich, yeah.
Yeah, that fucking guy, yeah.
My favorite part of the review is when you pointed out that stupid violin sting that's in like every like tension scene.
It's in every movie now. It's just like, oh my God, I hate that. You're like, duh.
And yeah, I'll notice it now. I'll notice it because you got a video.
It's in so many things.
It's that thing.
Oh my God. It's like in every action movie now.
It's just like, you know, in film school, they teach you like the importance. I mean, you know this, Ralph, like the importance of like having emotional cues in the music to like help set up the audience, like feel a certain way. But I think that they forgot you actually have to write that feeling as well. You know, you don't just put the music there. Like
there's a whole class on just that sound clip that they use.
Yeah.
It's like a whole class probably just on that, like how to use it because it's been used so many times.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's like at least come up with like a new like sting sound, or like it's not even like okay, like they re-record it. It's like the same exact sound effect, like that they download off this website or something. It's like they just plop it into every freaking movie.
It's just $25 on Pon5, and you just download it. Yeah,
it's like one of those. I'm like, stop using this, people. Like, please stop using it. I hear it in like everything now. I've probably heard it 100 times at this point for different. I still hear it.
So
I really make a difference. Sorry.
So Ralph, do you have a favorite cryptid? Is there like one that you're like, oh, if I wish it could be real, it'd be this one?
Do I have a favorite one? Like
cryptid?
It's a cryptid.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. That's actually one of our Patreon questions.
Oh,
so hold on.
Look Trey at that segue. That was so smooth.
I didn't even mean it. Trey, we'll answer the Patreon question about what a cryptid is, and then Ralph can tell us which one's his favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. So John McDonald wrote us on Patreon, and he said, hey, guys, I got a question for you. There seems to be a lot of debate on what constitutes a cryptid. Where do you guys draw the line? Are monsters once believed to have been real count? What about purely fictional creatures like Slenderman? What do you think, Trey, about this classic cryptozoology question?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one because it's like constantly like a debate. Like, I guess the term itself is like really elastic. Like, people have used it to say, talk about, like, some people think dragons are like cryptids and stuff.
I was going to say, is dragon like
one? I had this argument with my roommate last night.
Oh, shoot. Oh, no. I guess my take is it is a reasonably plausible, like, creature or, like organism, I guess, that's like so at least somewhat plausible to exist in nature, I guess.
Okay, so animal is an important part to you?
Animal, and then like plausible, like reasonable, I guess, like that it's not like like, I don't know, some of the crazy ones that are like flying Pegasus horse or something like that. Those ones,
yeah.
Or like ghosts. I don't consider ghosts like cryptids.
Okay, well, what about aliens?
See, aliens, that's where you draw the lines getting blurred.
Because that's the animal word, right? Because some of the biology people say animal means animalia, which is, your periodic life, this particular kind of life. Like, so it's not aliens.
Yeah, I guess not.
Because then you can't count the Flatwood Monster, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, when you try to narrow down the definition, it makes it hard. Like, you're cutting off certain cryptids. I guess one thing I definitely don't consider as a baseline, like mythical creatures from like Greek mythology and stuff. Sure. I'd say probably not. Cause even like there's an interesting book that I've been reading. It's like, did Greeks and Romans actually believe in their own myths? Like, did they think that they were literal truth? And like the conclusion that the author made from like the sources and stuff is that like, a lot of like Greek and Roman like scientists and like elites like didn't really believe in it. Like, we have writings about like people that talk about like how centaurs really don't make much sense and stuff. So I'd say like those don't count because like a lot of people didn't actually even believe they were real in the first place. And then like I guess my qualifier is like reasonable, like where like a thing with like wings and four legs and stuff. I don't know. I'm rambling.
Okay, so if the Jersey Devil doesn't have wings, it's a cryptid. But if the Jersey Devil does have wings, it's not a cryptid.
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. That's why
it's a famous question, because it's hard.
Yeah, because there's a lot of cryptids that really aren't like reasonable or plausible at all. Like there's like the Fresno Nightwalker, those like just pair of legs.
There's a white blob on a camera. That's obviously an unknown creature.
Have you seen that one, Ralph?
Have you seen the Fresno Nightcrawler? Here, let's show him real quick. Let me throw it in chat.
Fresno Nightwalker is great.
For some reason, I'm at Comic Cons and there's like a lot of like different like queer representation art and stuff. There's a lot of like gay Fresno Nightwalker drawings. I don't know why, but they like draw them with a rainbow flag all the time. You know, good for them. I'm just saying. I didn't, you know.
I'm looking up cryptids now.
I sent you a link in the Zencaster thing.
Oh, that's it? It's like a pair of legs walking around?
It's just a pair of legs, yeah. It's like the video was recorded.
He doesn't believe it.
He doesn't believe. Oh, the video was recorded by some like guy in California on his like CCTV camera. And like he's like, look, and it's like two pairs of like legs like walking across his yard in the middle of the night.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Like a list of them. I see one called like a stink ape or
skunk. Oh yeah, I call them skank squatch. Yeah, that's basically like this Florida one that has like this crazy bad like marijuana smell to him or whatever.
Smokes a lot of pot.
Yeah, dude, that episode with the Monster Quest is so crazy because there's this one guy who tries to like capture him, and he fucking like gets a bunch of reefer on a towel and a bunch of orange juice because he thinks that he loves orange juice, and he puts the orange juice by like a big garbage like fucking can, like you know, like a big one, and like he's like hiding in it with the fucking like the chlorophyll shit, trying to like pass out and roofie Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Miles, you're missing the part where he falls asleep himself and then wakes up.
Yeah, he does. He does fall asleep. Yeah. So that's a thing that happened. Guy tried to roofie Bigfoot with orange juice and shit. It's wild. So what about Slender Man, Trey?
Oh, see, I don't consider like entirely like fictional things like that, like Slender Man or oh gosh, like I'm thinking of all the creepypasta stuff. Like what was that thing that like you blink and it snaps your neck? SCP-173.
Oh, yeah, the SCP Foundation or whatever.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Like I don't really consider cryptids because nobody actually believes that stuff. Like, well, I guess some people do. Crazy people do. But it's something that, like, we know for a fact somebody, like, admittedly made up and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, you might as well go, like, are White Walkers cryptids and stuff? Like, at that point, it's like,
I would say cryptids are creatures that are proposed to exist in the like post-scientific era that have not been identified by science and known to exist through that way, right? So these are things like this is like post-Darwin, post-Age of Exploration, post-colonialism. Like, so most animals are starting to be documented. We're starting to create like our biological hierarchies and stuff and know what's out there. These are animals that people say, I saw it. But then none of the means of like identification have been applied to them and have worked. Yet some people still believe in them. I'd say those are what cryptids are. So I think that aliens are cryptids because I think aliens are kind of a natural offshoot of like American paranoia, right? They, like X-Files is kind of a cryptid show, and not just because like Bigfoot's in it or whatever, but like it's basically like fears and unknown stuff that Americans are looking for and their government, and aliens are a part of that. Aliens are like the creature that's out there that's unknown that must be there, you know? So I would say that like the way that most Americans, like the little gray aliens, I would say they're a cryptid. And obviously, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster is. I'd say Slender Man isn't. So my definition would then include things like the Flatwood Monster or stuff like that, because they're a creature, not just an animal. So that's what I would say.
Okay. No, I think that definition is way better than the one that I gave.
Yeah, suck it, Trey. No, it's a hard question though. It is a really hard question. I think that's why people argue about it. So Because Darren Nash told me aliens weren't cryptids, and we argued about it.
Well, really?
So now that you know, Ralph.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cryptid?
I gotta go Skunk Ape.
Okay, Skunk Ape. I just heard about him, but yeah, I think we're bonding.
Yeah. I just like that name, Skunk Ape.
Yeah, it's good. Great Monster Quest episode.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually one of the episodes.
It's beautiful.
The chips, right, Miles? The pheromone chips.
Oh, yeah, so get this, Ralph. So they got to lure this guy in, right? Like the scientist people, not the crazy guy with the roofies and the OJ, but like the people who are educated people. They go out there. They're like, we got to get him. What would bring our boy in? Well, they get vaginal yeast from an orangutan and put it on these chips and hang them out in the woods with their camera traps.
Chips?
No, they're like plastic chips that like they rub the smelly stuff on them.
That'd be funny if they put it on potato chips.
Yeah, there's like, you know, it's like, hey, yeah, maybe he wants potato chips. Maybe he wants vaginal yeast. I don't know what he wants, but he's getting both.
And they said that it stunk like crazy, right? Like,
oh, yeah, I'd imagine, you know. Those are two words you really don't want to combine together. So,
dang.
Yeah, every time we have to talk about that on the show, it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they keep on bringing it up. They keep on,
you brought it up this time, but yeah.
The Bigfoot episodes, they always whip that out. It's like their go-to, along with the trail cams.
Yeah. My favorite's the Loch Ness Monster, for the record. Love the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, yeah, I still like Yetis. Like, that's a cool one.
Yeti's cool. Yeah, that's who I'd pick to be real, because, you know, I just wish there was a big giant lake monster. Yeah, hella cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my favorites are the Ninjins. Have you ever seen these? They're like these big, they're like these weird, they're really weird. I don't even know how to describe them. They're kind of like the Fresno Nightwalker, I guess, just like giant. They live in Antarctica, apparently. And they're like these weird little guys, little goofy white creatures. I don't know. They're that are sometimes the size of icebergs, sometimes like human sized.
Oh, what about the Slide Rock Bolter?
What is that? Oh, is that the stupid giant whale thing that?
Yeah. It's the whale.
Oh, that thing's stupid.
So there's this whale in Colorado that like lives on a mountain, which is a thing whales do, and he like rolls down the mountain at people.
It looks the artwork's amazing of this. Yeah. This creature.
It's very real.
See, I grew up on like cryptids and Monster Quest, so like it's when I have to explain it to people, I'm like, it sounds like insane. I think like when I have to explain, like, yeah, I'm interested in this stuff, I have to clarify that like I don't believe in it.
Yeah, now I know what a cryptid is.
How did you get into like these topics, Ralph? Like for a lot of us, like we kind of go like the Carl Sagan route, or we like really like this stuff as a kid, and then we kind of like eventually like turn out that it's not real, and we get a little annoyed about that. Or did you just really like, watch these episodes and we're like, what the fuck is this?
I just watched the episodes, right? I watch a lot of TV or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I made like a video on like, you know, like a lot of bad like reality TV shows like Mystery Diners or whatever.
And Charles Stiles, Mystery Diners.
Yeah. And then it kind of like transitioned into me making like the video about ghost shows, like you said. Mm-hmm. Oh, these shows are so stupid. They're trying to find ghosts. Like, it's obviously not real. And then, like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, more far-fetched, like, reality kind of shows. Like, what could be next? Like, there could either be, like, those alien shows where they, like, try to find aliens or whatever. Or, like, go the natural route of, like, Bigfoot shows. Like, okay. So I'm like, okay, let me, like, watch some Bigfoot shows, see if there's any, like, material to mine there. So I, like, watched a bunch of Bigfoot shows where, like, they're trying to find Bigfoot in the woods or whatever. They're all the same. It's all, like, some crazy, like, redneck guys, like, with guns, like, just going out in the woods and trying to find them. And it's like, okay, so I found, like, plenty of material to mine here. And that's just kind of how it happens. Like, you know, I didn't really have any interest in, like, Bigfoot particularly. Obviously, I knew who Bigfoot was, but that's,
yeah.
Like, it's like one of those urban myths that I'm like, okay, that's silly. Like, we could probably find like some people to like poke fun at here. And
yeah, you know,
it's good material. It's good material for a video. It's like priceless. Like some of the stuff that happens in these things, it's like, it's insane. Some of these shows, like the stuff they come up with, like stories they come up with. Yeah. It's very funny.
I always thought they should have Charles Stiles go after Bigfoot, because he really has the camera work down, right?
Well, there's a Charles Stiles episode where he like goes in a haunted like restaurant.
Oh yeah,
the guy put in the ghost shows one. It's like he's like sends in a like a psychic medium or whatever, and she's like eating dinner, and she's like, Charles, there's like a dead man's ghost behind me with his head shot off. It's like,
oh shit. It's like, we'll leave the man alone. He's trying to eat his dinner in peace. It's hard. Yeah, exactly. Leave him alone. Get off his back, man. Jesus Christ.
It's like, oh, so this is like a ghost show now. Like Charles Stiles is not just like uncovering like bad restaurants. He's uncovering like ghosts. Like, so silly.
Yeah, reality TV is just sure something.
Yeah.
Hunter
now. But yeah, that's how I discovered the Bigfoot stuff. It's just like, yeah, a lot of TV.
That's interesting because I didn't know if you were like you know, a skeptic or into this stuff as a kid, like a lot of us who are still interested in it. But it's just kind of funny that you just watch. You're like, what the fuck is this shit?
That's good. I'm skeptical of a lot of things, but yeah, I kind of went into it knowing, you know, I knew what it was going to be. Mm. And then it delivered. I thought it was like very funny. It was very funny shows that I saw.
Yeah.
And I love all these like Bigfoot organizations. Like they have websites, like the BFRO or whatever. Like they're like these really long like acronyms. The BFRO, CCT. Like it's like, and then like these organizations that's just like they hunt down Bigfoot. And they get together in meetings and like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, and you said something in your Bigfoot one that I've always thought. I was like, well, even when I was like 10 years old watching these on History and Discovery Channel back in the day, you know, like if they actually found this stuff, why would it be airing on network television at 9:30? You know, they're just casually like, oh, we'll just release it randomly in an episode.
Yeah,
I'm like, they don't even do that. They never stealth things like that.
Like in the news, like months before, you'd be like, these people found Bigfoot. But yeah, they usually either fake it or they don't find Bigfoot at all. And like the conclusion of the episode's like, oh, we didn't find him, but we'll find him next time. Next time. Ad break. It's like, okay.
Yeah, like how many episodes of Finding Bigfoot are there? That's like several seasons. Like,
yeah, right? Have they found him yet?
No, don't get him. It's a process, dude. Don't rush. Yeah.
My favorite thing is like that kind of stuff for like archaeology, like not clickbait. I guess it's like, I don't know, what do you call clickbait for TV? Where they're like, we tested Jesus's DNA. Is he real?
Shroud of Turin.
Yeah, they test. I watched it, and they're like, we tested his DNA, and it's inconclusive. We don't know. So it's like, oh wow, and it's like, dude, I would have heard about this.
But the Shroud of Turin thing, that was like a big deal. I was like 9 or 10, you know. And they're like, all right, stay tuned at 9:30. Turn off your PlayStation. You have to watch. Like, did we find a magic bloody Jesus robe? I'm like, holy shit, did we? That's cool. And then they're like, no, we probably didn't.
Oh, that reminds me. Have you seen
hour and a half?
Did you see the Al Capone mystery of Al Capone's vaults? Did you ever watch that?
Miles? The vault opening.
Scarface Al Capone may have built it, and nobody knows what's in it. Some say money. Some say bodies. Some say it's booby trap, and we're going to open it. What secret lies inside? It may be Scarface Al Capone's biggest secret, and we'll open it on live television. Step inside the vault with me on April 21st.
Uncover the mystery of Al Capone's vaults. Join host Geraldo Rivera Monday, April 21st, exclusively on Channel 46.
Yeah, where they opened Al Capone's vault live, and it was horribly unfulfilling, and they ended the show.
Yeah.
It's like a hour long show, and like they just filled it with like a whole bunch of crap that's like not related, mm-hmm. And then at the very end they opened the vault and there was nothing in there.
That kind of I like that phenomenon kind of repeated on Reddit, like with the whole safe thing. You guys know about that?
No, what's that?
So there's this long, this is like a 10, 12 year old history on Reddit, like a really famous post years ago, like 8 or 9 years ago, something like that. This guy's like, I bought a new house and I found a hidden safe in the house. What should I do? And everyone's like, holy shit, what's in that safe? You know, it's Ark of the Covenant, like Spider-Man issue 1. Who fucking knows? You know, anything could be in this safe. Could just be like diamonds sitting on top of diamonds. Everyone's freaking out. Everyone's excited. All these big brain dudes, you know, they're pulling out their beards. They're thinking how to open this safe. And then the guy's like, post another picture of the safe like 3 days later. And he's like, all right, I'm still working on it. Everyone's like, what's happening, man? It's been 3 days, you know, like 2 weeks go by. And he's like, oh, yeah. Talked to a safe guy. He wanted too much money, blah, blah, blah. Never comes back. No one knows what's in the damn safe. Everyone's like, fuck you. We made our own subreddit. Like, what's in the safe? Everyone wants to know what's in the safe. Guy's like, oh, I've been busy, man. I went out of town. You know, don't worry about it. Everyone's like, are you fucking with us, man? We'll find you. We'll dox you. We'll kick your ass. You know, we want to know what's in that damn safe. Like, we got jobs. Our lives aren't going good. Our only happiness can be whatever's in this safe. And then, like, the guy goes for, like, a long time. He's gone. He leaves. Eventually, some other guy fucking buys this house, like, a year later or something, right? And then, like, the guy's like, hey, guys, I found the fucking safe. I'm going to open this shit. Like, a week goes by. They get a guy in there. They bust that thing open. Nothing in the damn safe.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a metaphor for Bigfoot shows.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, but it was very exciting for, like, a year or two, you know. And so it happens sometimes on Reddit. Someone will find a safe and post it. And everyone's like, here we go again. So... That's basically maybe another what these guy
found something in there and he just didn't say. Maybe he found Bigfoot in the safe.
Well, yeah, if that's where he was. That's where he was.
Found his body in there.
This whole fucking time.
Yeah.
There was guys, Ralph, a while ago that said they found Bigfoot and told the news that they bought a big Bigfoot suit and they found a bunch of dead possums and stuffed it with dead possums.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah,
it's classic maneuver there.
Because, you know, it's a prank. It's like something out of fucking what's his name? Tom Sawyer kind of thing, you know? Classic American.
Yeah, the classic dead possum trick.
Yeah, we've all tried it. Yeah.
Classic. Yeah, Bigfoot's obviously not real, so it's right. It's a bunch of
tricks. Yeah, well, maybe Monster Quest will find him though. We don't know. We'll see in this episode from 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. This is like an ancient episode.
So, Ralph, you put out a couple of movies, right?
Oh yeah, I'm a filmmaker as well as a Bigfoot entrepreneur
tracker,
filmmaker as well, right?
Yeah,
and it's like what informs a lot of like my videos too. It's like my filmmaking like knowledge. Like, I know, like, you know, even when talking about, like, the ghost shows or, like, whatever, like, that kind of shit, like, dumb, like, reality shows. Like, I know, like, editing tricks and, like, what's fake. Like, okay, they just, like, edited around this to make it seem like, you know, it's, like, real, but it's not real. It's, like, an editing trick or, like, CGI or lighting tricks or, I don't know, even, like, acting. Like, I notice when people are just, like, acting in those kinds of shows, like, yeah, okay, he's lying.
Yeah.
yeah, I use that to help, like, inform my stuff, yeah, but I also... Yeah.
I believe you had a character die from grayscale, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ghost show. The
very, very deadly editing trick, that grayscale.
Yeah, yeah, Game of Thrones reference there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch it. I don't watch that show.
Yeah, I love movies. I think anyone who knows me knows I love movies, really. Like, it's funny, like, all the ghost stuff took off, because I really always just wanted to, like, review movies, like Chris Stockman or whatever. But, like, yeah. I just made, like, these random videos about Bigfoot. People are like, oh, man, these are great. I'm like, yeah, I'll make more of those. Like I want to do another one of those, like, eventually. But they're like, I want to spread them out. I want to spread those out. I don't want to, like, in between, like, the stupid shit, I want to, like, review movies and, like, make movies, because that's, like, what
I really you like, read, like, all the Film Is Lit books. And you know, go through the AFI top 100 and learn all the stuff about lighting and everything, and then you're like, hey guys, check out the stupid Bigfoot shit, and everyone's like, that's what we want, that's what we want from you.
They're like, make more Mystery Diners videos. I'm like, yeah, of course I want to do something like that, like not Mystery Diners exactly, because Mystery Diners ended like as soon as I made my video about it, which,
yeah, I think you killed that.
Yeah, I think I don't think that wasn't my intention at all, but I think that's what happened
after after the drone they had broke. That was the end of the show. That was the budget. You know, that was the high point in the action.
Yeah, that's like, we can't top it. Like, yeah, exactly. It's like
guys just sitting in a writer room. They're all like, what can we do, man? That was it.
Yeah.
It's the best idea we've ever fucking had.
They were building to that, right? yeah, I want to do more of those. Like, people request it all the time. Like, yeah, definitely. But first, I want to review, like, a movie that, like, sucks or whatever, like, or a movie that's good. Or, like, I review good movies, too. Like, I had a series where I reviewed good movies, like, Once Upon a Time in the West or whatever. Like, yeah, people,
dude,
like,
that's great. Legit one of my 10 favorite movies all time.
That's a great movie. I'm glad I, like, introduced people to it. Like, people like my video. Like, it's not, like, the greatest analysis of all time. It's not, like, Roger Ebert. But, like,
well, sure.
It's entertaining. Like, I made an entertaining, like, analysis of it that, like, hooked, like, because a lot of young people are on YouTube, like, it got them, like, hooked on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, this stuff is great. Like, people think like kids are like, I don't know, ADHD or whatever. They have no attention span. But like, no, kids can, well, like teenagers can watch like a movie like Once Upon a Time in the West and really enjoy it. It's like,
you well, know, that movie's so tense too, you know? Yeah, it's just like a guy standing there with a harmonica in his mouth looking at you. And you're like, what the fuck's he going to do?
Widow, the land grabber, the outlaw, the gunman. The man in search of a name.
Yeah,
what's that guy up to?
Interesting. Like, it's not just like, oh, it's an old Western or whatever. I'm like, no, this is great. It's like one of the best movies ever. And there's like tons of movies like that. People are like, oh, it's old. It's like, no, it's great. Like, I mean, just take example, like the new Pinocchio movie, right? Like, that's the old Pinocchio from like 80 years ago was a much better movie.
I watched that. I watched that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That sucked. It was terrible. Did you watch that, Ralph?
Yeah, I did. I recorded like a podcast episode on that also. It's just like, that movie is so bad. But remember the part, like, I didn't even remember this, but like, I was talking about it with my friend. There's like the part where Pinocchio's like in the street and he just like looks at a pile of horse shit on the street. It was like, why was that even in the movie? What was the point of that? He just like looks at a pile of horse crap on the street. He's like, huh, what is this?
I'm like, just hoping one day he can crap. He's like, then I'll be a real boy.
I got so upset watching because that movie is so ugly. It's an ugly ass movie. Like I was looking at Pinocchio. Like, there was a scene where he's on the street talking to the fox or whatever, and it's like washed out. Like, it's like all the whites are blaringly white, and it's just ugly. And it's like, this is animated. Like, they could control the lighting. Like, why does it look like this?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like so. Ugly is like a good word for it, and like cynical. Like, the whole idea of, like, making these Disney movies, it's like, these, like, Disney remakes or whatever, I just can't stand them. They're so, like, the Lion King one, the Aladdin one.
They make me pretty mad. Like, I really like Disney classic animation, because, like, if you think about, like, just, like, early on, like, nobody really thought you could make feature film, like, movies that were animated that adults would like, you know, and like, you watch that Snow White, it's almost 100 years old, right? This is all hand-drawn animation, all these people like really making a new medium of like Western animation, and it's so beautiful and it's still watchable, that there's so much in there, and it really feels like a storybook brought to life, like, which is an experience a lot of people, you know, like that it reminds them of their childhood and their families. It's like a deep cultural connection, and they like they remake all this stuff, and not only do they make it cynical, they have nothing else new artistic to show. They like add the like insincere like 2010 kind of Disney commentary to the movie's text,
right?
Yeah. You know, like in Beauty and the Beast, they like loaded. Yeah, like in Beauty and the Beast, they like have Belle invent the washing machine.
Really?
And
I didn't know that. She invents the washing machine.
Yeah, she invents washing machines, and then everyone in town's like, "Ew, a girl can read." And I'm like, I don't think that people watched the original movie and were like,
that is hysterical.
Yeah. Or like, there's this like really stupid, like, you know, like, you know, like nostalgia critic 2010 film commentary, right?
Right. Exactly.
I ran into him the other day at Comic-Con, by the way.
Oh, you ran into him again?
No. I was just telling Ralph because he didn't know.
Oh, okay. I was like a second time.
A few booths down from me. He was selling swords and guns and stuff from his booth. I think maybe they were props from Boldly Flea, I think. I don't know.
Oh, you should have bought them. That stuff worth millions. To Boldly Flea is a great piece of cinema there.
Yeah. They teach that in film school. You know, they teach like Vertigo. They have you watch that, you know? Yeah. And then they're like, then watch To Boldly Flea, you know, and write an essay on it too.
Yeah. Flop Quizzot, whatever. Yeah. That's what they do. They just take like the Disney classics and like completely elongate them, like make them over 2 hours long for no reason.
Yeah.
And, like, add all this shit to them. Yeah. Like, they it adds nothing to the movie. Like, all this stuff they put to it. It's like the original one was much better. It was shorter.
No, they add like super secret gay characters, though. Like,
yeah, that too. They're like, this character's gay, but we're not going to say he's gay. We're just going to put an article afterward that he was gay.
They're not going to kiss anybody or be gay. you know, yeah. but they are gay and you should be happy about that.
My favorite thing is that Disney's like quote unquote first gay character is named the Fool or whatever. what's his name? The guy in Beauty and the Beast?
Bafu,
which is like the Fool. And it's like, oh, great. What great representation.
They like added it to the text that like the reason Gaston is like this is because he has like PTSD from the wars.
Oh, God, you're right. The French wars.
And then like they're like, oh, because like so like a stupid like I was saying, like a nostalgia critic kind of film commentary point about Beauty and the Beast, you know, the good movie was that like, why would the servants be turned into what, you know, candlesticks and whatever, like that's not fair, right? And so it doesn't make any sense, you know, nobody gives a shit, it doesn't matter, it's not part of the emotional storytelling, the logic of that doesn't matter. But like, so they make them morally culpable in this movie. They intentionally have lines where they're like, oh, they like egged on the prince and weren't good mentors to him, so they're also morally culpable and that's why they get turned into candlesticks and shit. And you're like, we don't need that text to the film.
Right, exactly. It just adds, like, it just makes the movie longer. It's just makes the movie so much longer than,
you know, or like you do Lion King and you'd be like, oh, Mufasa's a good king. They're like, oh, well, let's talk about his tax policy and his immigration policy, you know, to make sure you fucking know that he's a good king. And it's just like, okay, I believe that he was a good king. He had a cool voice, said things nice, stood in the sunlight.
Miles, are you criticizing a certain like fantasy author?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's your guy.
George.
Yeah. but yeah, Ralph, it's kind of interesting that like you use like your film background and your knowledge, like film language, to kind of know how this bullshit is sold to people, you know, because like one of the most one of the most famous people in like skepticism is James Randi. And he was a magician. And so like he knew about magician shit, so he knew when people were faking psychics, or like Uri Geller, the guy who used to bend spoons and stuff, you know, he used to debunk him because he knew how he did all of his tricks and he could replicate him and stuff. So like he came from a different perspective. Like he didn't come from a science perspective to say this is bullshit. He's like, oh, I'm a trickster, I know how to do these tricks. So you like come from a film background, you're like, oh, I know how these people are lying to people to make them believe in Bigfoot. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. They try to sell it like how a magician does. Like they use every trick in the book. They edit around it or cut this person off and, you know, certain things like that to frame it a certain way to make it seem like it's real. I love like those kinds of shows too. They usually have like the skeptic come on who's like, you know, the rational person who says like, no, Bigfoot's not real. And they like edit around him to make him sound like he's nuts or whatever. Like everyone else is right. He's like in a room with 10 other people who believe in Bigfoot. And they're like, oh man, this guy's crazy. He doesn't believe in Bigfoot. Like what a weirdo. It's probably most people.
So on your one with the ghosts, right? The guy's like, oh man, the TV turned on in the other room. The guy's like, yeah man, you used the wrong remote, you dipshit.
Yeah, he's like, it's the remote. It turned on the other TV in the other room.
The guy's like, I don't know, man. You know, I just don't know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a ghost.
So they have like the logos there. They have like the logical guy explain that. But then they bring in the lady who's like crying and shit, right?
Yeah.
And like,
I see ghosts everywhere.
So you're obviously going to remember the emotional crying lady instead of the remote control guy.
Yeah. And then they bring in like the spiritual, possibly a person of Native American descent to come in and like, oh my gosh. And then
that's timely to this week's episode.
they always like, they have all these tricks. It's like, it's almost like textbook how it works, where like they have this set, like a group of people that they get on the show. Yeah. And they edit around them. They get some, what is it, where you dub over somebody afterwards?
ADR
people. Yeah, dang.
Yeah, exactly. It's all a trick. Yeah, you got to be careful about what you see and like these kinds of things, you know, like reality shows or whatever. Not there's obviously some truth to it, but you know, it's not like completely true. It's like, it's manipulated. And
there's that Nathan For You where he has the ghost realtor lady. Have you seen that one?
I don't know if I have. I do like Nathan For You.
Yeah, well, like he like tells a realtor that if she could have houses that were guaranteed to be ghost free, she would have a big niche in the market.
My mission was to make Sue one of LA's top realtors. The plan? Have her specialize in a currently unrepresented group of homebuyer, the 50% of people who believe in ghosts.
Ghosts?
When you show a house, you know, half the people that come through are thinking, is there a ghost in here?
Okay.
So it surprised me that I've never seen a realtor that can guarantee that all the homes they sell are entirely ghost-free.
True, yeah.
So what I'm suggesting is a complete rebranding of you as the ghost realtor.
It's really a wild idea.
So, like, they, like, hire a psychic and, like, go check and see if the ghosts are house-free and shit. Then she says that one time she was on vacation, she was raped and killed by a ghost.
What?
Killed? Nathan's, yeah, she was raped and killed by a ghost. And
it's like, you know what an incubus is? It's a ghost that'll have sex with someone until they die.
Wow. That's like what I experienced when I was in Switzerland. Something, a bad spirit or a bad entity.
This is the room that it's generating from.
What happened in Switzerland?
When I was being choked.
You're being choked in Switzerland?
Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
What?
Earlier we were
choked by what?
By an entity like that. I felt like I was being
choked. Wait, a ghost choked you in Switzerland?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. There's been many things that has happened in my life. That's why it's so interesting to meet you.
Nathan's like, alive? Well, look, I don't have the answers to these questions. You know, like, the world's a mysterious place.
She came back to life, or she's a ghost.
Jeez. Yeah, Nathan almost broke on that one. You could see him. He's like, oh, all right. But yeah. She actually put billboards around town saying she was like the ghost-free realtor and shit. Yeah. And one house she had was confirmed to be haunted. So when she like showed it to people, she had to tell them, oh, yeah, this one's haunted. Just so you know, there's a fucking ghost that lives here. So people believe it, man.
Yeah. I just think every house is ghost free.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Yeah. I don't know how you determine if a house is haunted. I don't know what they like.
You pay a guy who has weird rings or weird hats or some kind of weird thing on him, you know, that like sweats a lot. And he walks around and he's like, oh, man. The energy, and then you know, then you have a ghost.
But it must be like random. He must be like out of one out of every 10 houses I do. Like I'll have to say like this one's haunted. Like, just a wheel at home where he like rolls a dice or something. It's like okay, if it's over 9, then I'm gonna say this house is haunted. Or
maybe they do roll dice and stuff. Maybe they're LARPing and they have their little D&D sheet and they roll and they determine how it's gonna be.
Yeah,
you exactly. know that's fun. They're having a good time. It's all right.
Yeah, very strange.
So I guess we should ask you about movies that you watched that were actually good. Anything that you think that like our audience would like? Anything about like history or weird stuff or archaeology or dinosaurs?
Oh.
They don't have to be. It can be anything, but you know, that's kind of our people.
Yeah. I like recommending recent movies, but
sure.
In terms of the classics, like Indiana Jones, a good one. I think you've seen that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
you all know. Like
Trey has a whole video criticizing Indiana Jones.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
In good faith or whatever.
Well, I saw, Trey, you had a video on, we were just talking about this before we started recording, the video you have on 10,000 BC.
Oh, yes. That
I hate that movie.
That awful movie.
So boring. So boring. I think that's Roland Emmerich.
Yes, it is. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And it's like...
Yeah.
Oh, like the pyramids were built by like an old white guy who's killed. I'm trying to remember what happened to that movie. That movie's insane. But it's boring, you're right.
That's funny too. Like like the protagonist is like white. Like everyone else around him is like, you know, darker skinned people, like probably how they were actually were back then. It's so silly, like how it's framed or whatever. Like everyone's like darker skinned except the main character who's like the white guy, like the white savior kind of trope. I guess The Mummy is a good one. It's like
Mummy?
Yeah, it's
good. Actually, you know, Mummy was good, but in terms of like those other like kind of classic monster horror movies or whatever, like Frankenstein or whatever, I'm not a huge fan of The Mummy. I think it's like kind of the weaker ones. I mean, I'd still recommend it, but I'm just saying like Frankenstein's probably better, or like even The Invisible Man.
Invisible Man's a pretty damn good film.
Yeah, nothing to do with archaeology, but it's a good movie. Yeah,
I like Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Pretty groundbreaking, like film techniques for that, because it was a lot of it was underwater, right? Because the creatures like underwater, and they filmed all that stuff underwater. I'm like, oh, that's pretty impressive for the time. The Brendan Fraser mummies are good. The mummy,
definitely.
At least the first one.
They're having like a renaissance right now on the internet. Yeah,
It's been years since I've seen that. I'm gonna have to see it again.
We should do, remember the Dark Universe or whatever that was?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the Dark Universe is everyone's favorite, you know? It's like the new Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. That bombed.
Oh yeah.
that got completely scrapped.
That photo is so beautiful of them all sitting there.
Right.
They're badasses. That was cool.
Yeah, they have no idea what they're even doing there. They're just like, what is this? Like,
what's all around you, almost everywhere you look, and makes your life better? Birds. Learn all about these beautiful creatures in this wonderful new podcast called Birds of a Feather Talk Together. Two experts guide two newbies on their journey to learn more. Mallard ducks, ivory-billed woodpeckers, Hawaiian honeycreepers, blue jays, cardinals, sandhill cranes, and more. Each week we discuss a different bird and walk away with a better understanding of the birds all around us. Oh, and we have a ton of fun doing it. Listen now. You're going to like learning about these birds. I guarantee it.
They should do a cryptid universe, and they could cast different people as the cryptids, you know? They could be like Danny DeVito as the Chupacabra.
Brendan Fraser and Tom Cruise. And just put them all in. Yeah,
Tom Cruise could play Bigfoot. He could pull it off. He has the range.
I don't think he's
not the height,
Bigfoot, but but we with computers, man, we're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Computers can do anything.
Yeah, computers, man. You don't need like film techniques or practical effects. You just got computers. You guys watched a whole movie that was all computers. You guys loved it.
Yeah. Which movie?
Pinocchio.
Oh no, they hated it.
No, he loved it.
Ralph, because you're a movie guy. We're going to settle this debate. Is Prometheus good or bad?
So here's the debate on the show. I say Prometheus.
Okay, what did you just say about it?
Objection! I say it's bad. I say it's nonsense because the movie's like, it's supposed to be this exploration of like, early alien, like movie alien, you know, like mythology and stuff about the scientists exploring it. But the scientists are all idiots and there's no good emotional throughput because like you can't really follow the stories in these people because they all die of their own stupidity. And the only cool thing is one random person acting like Lawrence of Arabia. Like, what does that have to do with anything in the story? You're like, that's good acting. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? Then a guy like dies to a vagina stake because he's an idiot. A guy who like invented a thing that explores caves gets lost. One bitch says evolution isn't real. And then she like gives herself an abortion. And then like another guy is like drinking alien fucking slurge or whatever. And then the movie's just over. Uh-huh. I say it's bad.
Don't slander me.
Trey, I give you the mic. Defend Prometheus for the final time. Objection!
There are certain aspects of Prometheus that I really like. I like some of the cinematography. I like some of the practical effects and digital effects are pretty good. Some of the ideas are intriguing. The soundtrack is very great. I will agree that a lot of the characters are stupid. The plot doesn't make much sense. And I will concede that. But there's stuff that's good, Miles. Like the sequence in like the little holograms of like the engineers come out and it's all like the music swelling and stuff. It's very good. It's good stuff in it.
I agree with both of you. I think you both have good points that I agree with. You know, I think it looks really good. It's a Ridley Scott movie, so it looks good. And there's like,
we wanted Ralph. We invited Ralph just on to settle this argument.
Like, I definitely like the look of the movie. I think it's better than Alien Covenant, which is the one after it.
Alien Covenant.
I think we can all agree there.
You are right in terms of like the characters being kind of dumb, and that wouldn't even bother me in a film, except the fact that they're scientists. They're supposed to,
right?
And they make like dumb. Like you said, the guy who created the map technology gets lost in the cave. Like, yeah, that's silly.
Well, because one of the themes about the movie is like people who want to know things about the world trying to explore our past and like what that means, almost like a nihilistic thing, because like aliens is kind of like this fearful like nihilistic universe, right? But then like the old character was like this prominent like Isaac Asimov kind of character turned bad who like wants to use his power just to not die, right? So you kind of have both like parts of humanity, but like as soon as they get to the plot, they're all fucking stupid. So, like, how does the theme resolve itself? Yeah. They just get crushed because they can't run left or right.
And, like, one of the best things about the original Alien are the characters. That's, like, one of the, you know, that's, like, the big hook of the movies. Like, the characters are great, and they're really smart, and they're, like, except Ridley going back for the cat, I guess, in Aliens. But that's, like...
Get away from her, you bitch!
Like, leave that cat, Ridley. Like, who cares?
Well, yeah, because like Waylon acts so like chummy and nice, you know, but he's like a cynical plotting bastard and stuff, you know. It's so, like Aliens is just a wonderful movie, and Aliens is a really fun movie. Yeah. And I think that they probably should have stopped there. Right. They never really had another hit in them.
Cubed or whatever.
Yeah. Cubed.
I kind of like Alien 4. It's not great filmmaking, but Ripley does have sex with a weird alien in like a garbage bin. So I that part was
I
cool.
Get that.
Yeah. I watched it when I was like 12 and I was like, that was weird. You know?
Sometimes Sigourney like Weaver bangs an alien? Are you serious? Are you messing with me?
Yeah, it's just they have an alien baby that's half alien, half human. And then the aliens like get sucked through a little hole in space.
I saw that on YouTube.
I guess weirder things have happened in the alien movies.
But I liked what was the historical movie? Was it called The Northman or something?
That was really good. Apparently, based a lot of
A24 film.
That's not A24. It's Robert Eggers did like his other two movies.
Yeah, it's Robert Eggers. He did The Witch.
Yeah, The Witch and The Lighthouse. That one wasn't
okay,
but it's still a great movie. Yeah, that's apparently like based on the Lion King story, like the original story that like Lion King's kind of based on.
Hamlet. Yeah. You get kids today. That's the Lion King story. That's awesome.
Hey, Uncle Scar, when I'm king, what'll that make you?
A monkey's uncle.
And yeah, it's like a lot of like Norse mythology worked in there. And that was a great movie. That's like
we talked about it like on the show, and like you can tell that like the director or the people behind the scenes like really had an eye for like historical details. Like it's insane. Like the stuff that like. As an archaeologist or like a history nerd, like that you pick up and you're like, they did not need to do that at all.
Yeah, like the Valkyrie's teeth carving and stuff is like a real thing, you know? Like,
Like that's something that like only really like people that are into Norse like history and archaeology like know about that. Like, because people joked about it when they saw it. Like, why is she wearing braces? And they're like, that's silly. Why is she wearing braces? No,
yeah.
Like, that's an actual thing that they did.
Interesting. See, like that stuff, I don't even know. I just like thought it was well made. Yeah, that I just came out like news about that film because you know it didn't do great when it came out. We were kind of talking on like my podcast. It didn't do so well.
Yeah.
But it was recently said that it was like profitable. Like even if it wasn't profitable in theaters, like the VOD sales or whatever. Yeah, it ended up making
that's
money.
Good.
Which I'm like, oh, that's great because that movie was awesome. It totally deserved.
Because that's his biggest budget film to date, right? So,
no, it's history will be kind to it, and it has been like it's done well afterward. I'm like, oh, that's great, good for that movie because it's a great movie. Yeah.
See, I like that film because it feels. I mean, it's a little kind of snobby, but it feels like an auteur film. Like the guy had a vision. He knew how he wanted to use his actors. He knew how he wanted everything look, and then he just fucking did it. It's not like it's not concerned with like. The mood of filmmakers of today or like modern politics or anything like that. It's just a film that's trying to be like this weird look at the past from this artist's perspective. And it just does that, you know, like they don't care if like William Dafoe's in it more or not in it more, or like if you like the main character and his decisions, like at the end, he like makes decisions based on like kind of really old world ethics, you know, but like they just fucking do it. Cause that's what they wanted to do. And yeah, I liked it a lot for that.
I feel like that's the best way to avoid that kind of like modern day political like slant or whatever is to make like usually a period movie. I think that's what a lot of directors do now.
Yeah.
Just like make a movie set like even if it's like 100 years ago or 50 years ago, like you can kind of avoid those kind of like criticisms people have now with like movies or whatever. Not that I entirely agree with those either. It's like the people, like we were talking about Disney, like the people complaining on Twitter, like, I can't believe the Little Mermaid is black or whatever. I'm like, oh, who gives a fuck? It's not even real. Like, what are you?
These aren't even real movies.
The mermaids aren't real.
You know, they're an artifice. They're an artifice of a movie.
It's like. Not like the movie's going to be great anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not real political discourse.
Yeah.
It's just nonsense.
Silly. thing to complain about.
Last movie I saw, I guess, was Clerks 3. Yeah. I saw that. It's pretty decent. What do you guys think about Clerks and stuff? Because I'm a little older than you guys, I think.
I've never seen Clerks.
You've never seen it.
That's another thing we're talking about on my podcast. We were talking about Kevin Smith. Someone asked us about Kevin Smith. I'm like, yeah, I like a lot of his movies, especially his earlier stuff, his lower budget stuff. Clerks is like a great first movie. It's black and white because it is practically had to be, because, you know, black and white film back then was cheaper than color film. They had
The movie was made for like $5,000 or something. They had
no money to make it. And they spent that money toward other things, like the actors or the location, maybe. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's like one of those first movies that, like, or one of the first I could think of that, like, referenced other movies. Like, characters in the movie are talking about Star Wars or whatever. It's very, like, treated the audience with, like, some amount of film knowledge, which is really cool, I think. Like, oh, yeah, you know what this stuff is. Like, we're not going to pretend that other movies don't exist. Like, we're just going to talk about other movies in this. And, yeah, like, the references, the very relatable characters that are, like, you know, they're not, like, you know, they're not the Northmen fighting a dude in a volcano. And this, they're not gods or whatever. It's, they're, like, dudes who work at, like, a convenience store. Yeah.
They're clerks.
You know, they hate their jobs and, like, they're just bored. And it's, like, they're talking to each other, shoot the shit. I'm like, yeah, that's very relatable to people. It's a great way to, like, it's just a great, like, movie. It's, like, very well thought out and different. It's a great movie.
Yeah, like, for me growing up, like, you know, some when I was learning about film and stuff, some of the movies you watch that are supposed to be some of the greatest movies ever, some of, like, the French New Wave films, like, they're really dialogue-heavy, right? And they only have a few sets, very dialogue-heavy. And I like a lot of those kind of movies, but, like, Clerks, like, it was set in America. It's like it could be down the road from you. And the people weren't like some like super sophisticated, great talking people. They were people that kind of talk like you. And it was like a very Gen X movie because it's just like made for $5,000. Like, and it just, but they still had like clever, like, you know, introspective things to say to each other. And like, then they would fucking talk about the Death Star.
Thanks.
You know, that article's accurate. Caitlin really is getting married.
You know what I just watched?
Me pulling a can off some moron's fist?
Return of the Jedi.
Didn't you hear me? Caitlin is really getting married.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, hand gets frozen and taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
There was something else going on in Jedi. Never noticed it till today. They build another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where credit's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments to Lando Calrissian.
Something just never sat right with me that second time around. I could never put my finger on it, but something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out.
The first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army. The only people on board were stormtroopers, dignitaries, Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even done being built yet. It was still under construction.
So?
So a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I'll bet they brought independent contractors in on that thing. Plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
Not just Imperials. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. In order to get it built quickly and quietly, they'd hire anybody that can do the job. I think the average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main. All they know is killing in white uniforms.
All right, so they bring in independent contractors. Why are you so upset at its destruction?
All those innocent contractors brought in to do the job were killed. Casualties of a war they had nothing to do with. All right, look. You're a roofer. Some juicy government contract comes your way. You got a wife and kids, the two-story in suburbia. This is a government contract, which means all sorts of benefits. Along come these left-wing militants and blast everything within a three-mile radius with their lasers. You didn't ask for that. You have no personal politics. You're just trying to scrape out a living.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but what are you talking about?
The ending of Return of the Jedi.
My friend here is trying to convince me that any independent contractors who were working on the uncompleted Death Star were innocent victims when they were destroyed by the Rebels.
Well, I'm a contractor myself. I'm a roofer. Done and ready, home improvements. And speaking as a roofer, I can tell you a roofer's personal politics comes into play heavily when choosing jobs.
Like when?
3 weeks ago, I was offered a job up in the hills. Beautiful house, tons of property, a simple reshingling job. They told me if I could finish it in one day, I would double my price. Then I realized whose house it was.
Whose house was it?
Dominic Bambino's.
Babyface Bambino? The gangster?
The same. the money was right, but the risk was too high. I knew who he was, and based on that, I turned the job over to a friend of mine.
Based on personal politics.
Right, and the next week, the Ferresi family put a hit on Babyface's house. My friend was shot and killed. Didn't even finish reshingling.
No way.
I'm alive because I knew the risk involved in that particular client. My friend wasn't so lucky. Any contractor working on that Death Star knew the risk involved. If they got killed, it's their own fault. A roofer listens to this, not his wallet.
You know, and like, that was the first time people really saw that shit, you know? So like,
It's kind of like that, like influenced by, like, very dialogue heavy and like relatable characters and grounded.
And the plot changes at the end with some weird sex thing. So it's very French that way.
Yeah. I haven't seen the third one. I want
to
watch Clerks, Trey.
At least the first one.
So my non-spoiler review for Clerks 3 is it's a very interesting direction to go with the script. It seems very aware that it is Clerks 3, you know, like the fact that it's the final film and probably the final good Kevin Smith movie and kind of like a goodbye to like Gen X and that style. And like, it's kind of like last years of possible relevance. It's like really aware of that and about that. I think sometimes to its own fault because it gets a little self-referential. But it is a very emotional film. And I think Kevin Smith really tried. A lot of the film, I think, is hurt by like it being in color all the time and modern stuff, because there's a lot of just reverse shots in there, you know, like the camera basically doesn't help tell the story at all, which I feel like the original camera does, even though it's simple, you know, like, so it's not quite the film that Clerks 1 is, but it's good. It, you know, it's the worst of the three Clerks films. But if you like Clerks and Kevin Smith when he's good, I think you'll appreciate it.
Good, but he has a lot of.
When he's good.
Justin Long was in that movie Tusk. So, I just mentioned him because like he's in Barbarian also, which I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah.
It's like a good horror movie.
But yeah, tell us about Barbarian. What's that one?
Have you heard of this at all? It's like a movie. It's just like a girl goes to an Airbnb and the dude who played it is like in the house. not a clown this time, just like a dude. And like, I'm not gonna say anything more than that. Like, there's nothing else to give away. There's like no fucking way you could like predict what's coming. Like, that's what I loved about it. This is like, it goes in these directions. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that was awesome. I definitely recommend it. It's like really fucking weird. Like, the audience I was with really enjoyed it. They were like, what the fuck is going on? They were like talking to each other, like in a good way, like try to like rationalize it. It was cool. And yeah, Justin Long's in it. I really like Justin Long's character. Sorry. But Justin Long was really good in it. And he's in this Kevin Smith movie, Tusk, who like transforms into a walrus or whatever. Like, some guy makes him into a walrus.
That's a cryptid right there.
It's pretty bad. It's like apparently just based on like some idea he had while like shooting the shit on a podcast, like kind of how like we're doing. It'd be like if you guys were like, Ralph, you should make this movie about like Bigfoot, and I'm like, yeah, great idea, and I like made it. Like, it's like that kind of movie. It'd come out horrible.
Awesome.
It'd be like really bad. Yeah. But he like actually made it. So yeah, it was stupid movie Tusk. Don't watch that one.
Don't watch it.
You saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch that in the theater?
I saw it twice in a theater. I really liked it.
I think it was the first time I've had fun, like that much fun in a theater in like 10 years. Cause like the whole audience was just like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like everyone was just like, people were laughing. People were feeling things. I don't know. It's one of my favorite movies I've seen in quite a while, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites of the year too. That and The Northman. Yeah. So the dudes who made that, the directors, the Daniels, they went to the film school I went to. They went to Emerson, which is in Boston. I'm like, oh, that's great. So I took my dad to go see it because my dad like knows I went to that school. I'm like, Dad, you should see this movie. And you know, it's like a weird movie to watch with your dad, because it's like, I think it's more for like, I guess it's for everybody, but it's like a really like, you know, like this generation kind of movie, or like even the generation like after me. Like,
it's, I think it's like a millennial.
Feel like young people, in a way. But like, I wanted to show my dad it. He's like, yeah, it was good, but I had like no idea what was going on. It's like, I get it. It's like crazy. It goes like
My dad got stoned and then said, what the fuck is going on? Like 10 times when I watched it with him. So
yeah, it's that kind of movie. He still enjoyed it. He was just like confused by it.
Yeah, that was great. I think it's one of my favorite movies of that kind of genre since like Eternal Sunshine. You know, like when I came out of it, I think I'm like, that's the best movie of that genre since that movie, I think.
Right. It reminded me of Eternal Sunshine too.
And yeah.
Even like Hot Fuzz and that kind of thing. Like
Hot Fuzz is fucking great.
Yeah. It was very funny, kind of genre bending too. It's like a kind of like a Hong Kong movie or like a Stephen Chow.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
Very like silly, but yeah, the emotion of it worked really well. It's like really well done. I thought it's like easily their best movie they've made.
Yeah, and it has fucking Raka Cooney in it, so you know,
Raka Cooney has Short Round in it.
it was great seeing Short Round again. Yeah, I love Indiana Jones too. I know it's the worst of the three films people consider it, but I was so happy seeing him. I don't know, it was nice.
Wow! Holy smoke! Crash landing.
Short Round. Step on it.
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones, hold on to your potatoes.
Yeah, he was great in it. And James Wong, I think.
Yeah,
James Hong.
Of course.
I think James Wong.
I mean, I don't really give a shit about the Academy Awards after they nominated Avatar for Best Picture. I stopped caring. But, you know, I hope it wins some awards.
You don't like Avatar?
I'm not a fan. It's okay, I think, to be more kind of visual than like story structure, you know, because I'm a writer, right? I write comics and like story structure is really important to me. And I think you can get away with not having a great story if you have really trippy, important visuals, you know, like Acura. Acura doesn't have the craziest story ever, but like it's so interesting the world is bringing into, like that emotion is part of the richness of the story. I think that it's okay. But like Avatar is just nothing to me. Like it just has nothing new to say about anything.
I like the look of it a lot. Like that's like the big, like the CGI was like groundbreaking at the time.
It just looked like Final Fantasy X to me. And I like Final Fantasy X, but you know, I already played it.
I like the world of it too. This is a very like detailed world.
The world is cool. Trey loves the world.
The story is more an excuse to explore the world and like the Navi itself more than like actually being like.
So at the Creationist Museum, right? Like the big Creation Museum. I think it's at the fucking Ark, right? They that's in what's no what's where's the big Ark of the Ark at, Trey?
That's in Kentucky.
It's in Kentucky. Yeah, they like have all these like really nice dinosaurs and extinct hominids and stuff there, like really nice stuff, right? But they don't believe in it. It's in the purpose of nothing. I kind of feel like that's how Avatar is. They have all these great art books and everything, all these new creatures and all these ecosystems, but like for what purpose? You know, like
it just celebrates the world. I guess people like that stuff, like how they like Game of Thrones, kind of.
Can you quote a line from Avatar?
Papa Dragon.
Is that a line?
Unobtainium. We need to find the unobtainium.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about, man. Like, you can quote like every line from Star Wars, you know, like even in the cadence that they say it, you know? Like stay on target, you know, like
Star Wars definitely better movie.
Oh, yeah. I think. Okay. All right. Fine. Avatar apologists on this podcast.
Do you like Avatar, Trey?
Yeah, I like Avatar. I'm kind of a similar mind where like this like visuals and the world itself is like the most interesting stuff to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the artist who designed the creatures for that movie, his name is Wayne Barlow, and like his creature designs, like when you see him, like when people hire him for a movie or like a show or something, you know it's him because his creature designs are just so freaking weird. I'm happy. I hope they bring him back for like Avatar 2, because that would be like, that's like the thing I'm interested in the most.
He's probably working on Avatar 5 right now.
Oh my god! Yeah, you're right. They're making all those movies.
Yeah, I hope the next one has like a little better story.
Yeah.
Also, it is James Hong, because I said James Wong. James Wong's the director. It's James Hong, because I know a comment's gonna like shit on me saying, "Oh, you said the wrong James. You said it's James Wong." No, it's James Hong is the guy.
I forgive you.
All at once. All is forgiven. Okay, good.
Have you seen Shin Godzilla?
Yeah, I like Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, that was awesome. It looked really good.
Like creature. It's kind of wild to me that they were able to make Godzilla scary again, you know? Because he was scary, and then he becomes such an icon. He's so popular. Like, you're basically not allowed to be a villain. If you get too popular, you know, you have to kind of become an anti-hero or a good guy. But this movie's like, fuck it, Godzilla's scary again. And it's pretty badass.
Yeah, exactly. That was cool.
Trey, what's your favorite all-time movie? Like, your number one.
Favorite all-time movie? That's a good question. Yeah. Dang.
I know it's hard. There's lots of genres, but you got to pick one. You got to.
I'm a huge fan of The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one. That's a
great. I just like this, I don't know, everything about it. So, and then what's another one that I really, really like? I don't know. The Indiana Jones movies are pretty fun. Yeah. Last Crusade.
Is the fourth one your favorite?
Oh, no, the fifth one's my favorite.
Oh,
the one coming out
soon. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Gonna be awesome.
Is the kid from Even Stevens gonna be in the fifth one, or
Mutt? Are they gonna bring back his son?
Yeah, is he not gonna be in it?
Shia LaBeouf.
I'm assuming he's not gonna be in it.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What else? What other good stuff do I like? See, the thing is, I watch a lot of crap movies.
That's true.
Because I just watch like bad movies for fun, so I very rarely watch good movies.
All right, my favorite film is The Royal Tenenbaums. That's my favorite.
Really?
Wes Anderson? Oh, yeah, yeah. Those movies are good.
Yeah. Wes Anderson's my favorite director.
The crickets and the rust beetles scuttled among the nettles of the sage thicket. Vamanos, amigos, he whispered and threw the busted leather flint craw over the loose weave of the saddle cock. And they rode on in the friskillating dusk light.
Eli was an assistant professor of English literature at Brooks College. The recent publication of his second novel earned him a sudden, unexpected literary celebrity.
Well, everyone knows Custer died at Little Bighorn. What this book presupposes is maybe he didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Did you liked his new one, French Dispatch?
I thought the art one in it was the best one. I really like that vignette. Like the French student one was okay, but the one with Owen Wilson was good too. I thought it was pretty darn strong. Yeah, not my favorite of his, but yeah.
Yeah, my favorite of his is probably Budapest Hotel.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, yeah. Really good. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Will
Tenenbaums is great. Yeah.
I like the way that they feel like this kind of like they almost feel like magical realism, you know, like because they're like slightly heightened from society where people have like. People like think about the color palettes of their outfit when they get dressed in the morning. And there's there's like this weird level of sophistication in society. And like everyone's just their emotions are a little bit removed from them. Yeah, you know, they float next to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just like Wes Anderson movies. Like, I'm like, okay, it's just his movie. Like, no one acts like real people. And only gets like more and more like Wes Anderson-y. Like as it goes along, like as his movies go along, like his catalog, like his early movies, like Rushmore, whatever, Bottle Rocket, they're like, you could believe they take place in the real world. But then like, there's a point where they're just like, so like out there, like, okay, this is like a movie. Like you can't
Bottle Rocket's so underrated. I fucking love that movie. Fucking dang it. It's hilarious.
I love Rushmore. That's a great, that's one of my favorites from him too.
Yeah. Beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Always has A+ soundtracks too.
Uh-huh. That guy he works with does his scores is awesome.
For sure. Then I'd say probably like Space Odyssey and like Princess Mononoke are up there. Clerks is up there for me, quite honestly. And then like Vertigo, The Searchers.
Mm-hmm.
And
The Searchers is good. That's a really good one.
And this isn't as good of a film from a filmmaking perspective, but I honestly really, really like Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Just one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, so. Well, you think it's funny, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
I don't know. It has a lot of heart to it. So.
Yeah, it's definitely like a kind of classic. I haven't seen it.
It's good.
On my watch list. Yeah, I have to watch that one. People like that movie, yeah. It's got a lot of good reviews.
Well, we talked about a bunch of movies and a bunch of random shit, but I think it's time to talk about something more important, Trey.
That's right. It's time for... Monster Quest.
Monster Quest.
Monster Quest.
Head start.
Witnesses around the world report seeing monsters. Are they real or imaginary? Science searches for answers. On Monster Quest.
You did it, Ralph.
I like that. I like that. That's a good one.
Differently, not as dramatically.
Okay, but
we say it like the guy. We say it like the narrator.
Yeah.
Hello, in America, we have this.
Science searches for answers. We've had the producer of the show on our podcast, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, the producer of Monster Quest. I'm kind of friends with him now. I talk to him.
Oh, that's great.
He sends you interesting stuff, right?
Yeah, like, I can ask him about something. He'll tell me, you know, like he likes us, which is weird because we call it on his show all the time, but he likes it.
Because we complain about like, and call stuff crazy.
Hey, I love this.
Ralph, have you ever seen a Monster Quest episode in your
life? No, this is my first one I saw.
Oh,
nice. I didn't sit through the entire thing, honestly, but I did see like a lot of it. I did watch a lot of it.
When we watch it typically on times two because it's a lot of redundant stuff. And, yeah, it's understandable.
Yeah, it's very crazy.
It is very crazy. This was a pretty big hit show, by the way, back in 2007. Like, this was something people were turning on and tuning into. You know, they had to find out if there were monsters lurking around. So,
yeah,
that was me every single Friday or whatever day this came out on, because I was a young child back then.
You still are, buddy.
Open your imagination.
So, hey.
And it's on, it was on History Channel. That's funny.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've talked about this where it's like it was the signs of like the time, signs of where History Channel was heading, kind of. Mm-hmm. You can see hints of like what became like the seeds of Ancient Aliens.
Yeah. And, they're getting away from real Oak history. Island.
Yeah, because they used to joke and call it the Hitler Network, right? Because it was all World War II stuff. But then like, they're like, what if we just do ghosts and Bigfoot and then people like having a pawn shop instead? And that's basically the fucking channel now. Yeah.
So. Pawn Stars, yeah.
Pawn Stars is fake as shit too, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all reality TV is, but like they literally will have things on that show that are like, if there's a movie coming out about them that week, they'll like have a rare thing come in. And it's like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we're doing Legends of the Hairy Beast, Trey.
Legends of the Hairy Beast or the Hairy Man?
Well, it's called Legends of the Hairy Beast.
Oh, Harry the Beast.
That's what they call it.
The Hairy Man in the episode.
So it says, both feared and revered by Native American Indians, whose stories and art go back thousands of years, the Hairy Man of legend could provide the most promising evidence of a Bigfoot-type creature yet. So that's promising.
All right.
Whoa.
Very promising evidence.
Yeah. So what do they tell us? Like, obviously, we know Bigfoot. We don't need to tell people about Bigfoot. They all everyone knows him. But like, what's special about this one we're looking for? Like, why a new episode?
So this episode, as from what I can gather, is they wanted to make a unique episode for this in particular because they wanted to focus on the Native American side of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
so much as there is one.
Yeah.
Which this is a thing that you see a lot on these episodes where like they appeal to the Native American stuff, right? They go like they take a modern idea, modern monster, and go like, look, the Native Americans had something similar in their mythologies or legends and stuff, and therefore it's valid. It's more valid that way.
Yeah, I've been calling it vitro fitting.
Yeah. and in this they focus on the Hairy Man legends.
Yeah.
And say that's Bigfoot.
So
Hairy Man.
Yeah, so we'll figure out what this Hairy Man person is, but apparently there's this Native American legend or myth or a cultural story about some kind of big hairy creature. So hey, maybe that's Bigfoot, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, anything's possible.
Yeah. Right? And they mentioned that these people are like the first inhabitants in North America, which of course isn't true. You know, they've probably been there about 9,000-10,000 years. You know, who knows when Bigfoot was there, but maybe they ran across each other.
Well, that's what they say. They say at one point they say Native Americans have been here for centuries or something like that. And it's like, dude, it's been way longer than that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Thousands of years.
Yeah, I don't think they know about the Clovis people or the people before the Clovis people either. You know,
I put this in my notes. Like, a lot of people have like the pop cultural understanding of like what Native Americans were like in North America, mm-hmm. like before Europeans showed up. There's like it's called like the pristine wilderness myth.
Sure,
it's like the idea that Native Americans like lived. Like in small little isolated hunter-gatherer bands and like they lived in harmony with nature and stuff like that. Which you see a little bit of that in this, where like, that's why they're like, oh, that's why they know Bigfoot so well, is that they lived in harmony with nature and lived in the trees. And it's like got a bit of like Ferngully.
Ferngully yeah. effect. Great movie.
Yeah. Avatar.
Yeah. Like you guys love and, that movie.
So there's some, and the thing, but in like truth, in reality, like archaeology shows that like Native Americans had like entire, like, it's cities and towns that were like complex and did agriculture and stuff and like tore down forests. Like, so I don't know. It's,
yeah,
it's got this weird view of how Native Americans existed.
My buddy, Richard Crowsong, who does a bunch of Native American art and writing and stuff. We've talked about this before, and he always says that like sometimes white people, basically they talk about like early Native Americans, like they were elves, you know?
Right.
Like, right. But they're people. And like, you know, like, the ancestors of Native Americans, the Clovis people, they most likely hunted many animals to extinction, you know, like they just killed them because that's, you know, we're a bunch of murderers. And, you know, like they would run buffalo off cliffs and stuff, you know, they kill a bunch of stuff because you want to eat. And like, that's what humans do. You know, they don't have a magical connection with the woods. Now, they might know their area very well. Right. You know, like, you know, I fish and I know the body of water that I fish well. I can, like, you know, the temperature, like what bites on this day and stuff. You learn stuff. You like have knowledge. Right. But like they don't just have some magical, perfect scientific knowledge of everything around them. They're just people, you know?
Yeah. So then they do that in this. They do this sort of myth of.
They also mentioned, they talked to one lady that says that the hairy man or the Bigfoot creature was as long as their boats or as tall as their ceilings. So that maybe is even bigger than like the Bigfoot we're used to looking for. You're looking for like a 12-foot Bigfoot.
Well, that's the thing. We do that. This happens all the time where they ask you, there's like 10-foot tall Bigfoots and 6-foot tall Bigfoots.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's signs to come for later when they talk about like how the legends are all the same. They match each other identically.
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah. Have you ever heard about like the Native American connection to Bigfoot, Ralph? They mentioned that on the hunting Bigfoot.
I haven't heard of any connection.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's interesting.
They hunted Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah, I thought maybe on Hunting Bigfoot they bring in an Indian guide, you know.
Oh, well, actually, no, there was like one episode of something I saw. They did like mention that, now that I remember. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. But not really. Like, I don't know a lot about it. I feel like even those shows give you like the most surface level information about that kind of thing. So I don't know much about it. But that's all interesting, though, what you've been saying.
Yeah. So a lot of this episode is set up because of Kathy Muskowitz. Kathy Muskowitz Strain. And she's an actual anthropologist and author, and she writes about folklore. And
I know a lot about her.
Yeah, well,
I have her book.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Okay, I'll hold my horses. I got a lot to say about Kathy.
She has made a claim that she can connect pretty thoroughly these legends of the hairy man and stuff to the modern idea of the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot, that people keep saying that they see, right? So that's a big point of this episode. But yeah, basically it's Bigfoot and his connection to Native American possible legends or folklore, you know?
Oh, yeah. Here's a good quote. I finally found it. Long before the Europeans settled in this country, Bigfoot was part of the Native American culture. Stories of the tall, hairy beast were handed down from generation to generation, both in spoken word and in their artistry. So there you go. That's a little teaser.
All right. Ralph, what do they do to look for this freaking guy? Do you remember?
Oh, well, they do all kinds of things. They they go down the river and like let out like calls, right? Or like let out calls or something like that for like hours, like the Bigfoot mating call or the hairy man mating call or some shit. And they go down the river for hours, like with the engine on, and then at some point they shut the engine off or something. And they also they also like hang up like sacks of food or something in the woods, and like
put cameras. Salmon and garlic.
Yeah,
right?
they hang it up by like strings in a sack, and they put cameras on trees to like that will capture the Bigfoot, like, once it comes for the trap or whatever.
So we basically got two big expeditions here. So they got James Bobo, right? Bobo is one of the guys from, like, hunting Bigfoot and stuff, but this was him, I think, before he got that show.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah, then this other guy, and they're in California, and they go to this river, and yeah, their plans basically go up the river and then float down at night, right?
Yeah,
they got to float down at night, and they got their thermal cameras, and they got their big
cameras, and they're like, we'll detect any mammals that are like around.
Don't say what they find yet. Hold on. We got to leave that hanging. You know, got to leave. Maybe they found them. Our listeners don't know. You know. Well,
yeah.
Weird to me is that they're blasting what they say a call of unknown origin.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. So like they don't even know where this sound came from. So I don't even know Bigfoot will like it.
Oh, I love it. But yeah, so they go downstream and then they got the big sound thing, right? That's like supposed to pick up any sound and isolate it, apparently. So that's cool. And they also had a CD binder I saw, which was cool. Yeah. Did you guys ever have CD binders growing up, or are you too young for that?
What's a CD binder?
You'd have a binder like.
Oh, yeah, I had a CD binder.
Yeah, yeah. You put your Papa Roach CDs in there.
Yeah, they put their Bigfoot mating calls in there or whatever.
Yeah, they got a different mix. You know, Bigfoot mating call 2006. You know, yeah,
number one, number five.
Yeah. They have websites, by the way, where you can go download like different Bigfoot mating calls and stuff. Like,
but how do they know like what Bigfoot sounds like if no one found them? They don't.
That's an excellent question.
That's what I put out in my video. I'm like, how do they know like what a Bigfoot will respond to if no one's ever found one? It just doesn't make sense.
There's one call that is commonly used on like these Bigfoot shows, and the thing is that it's a completely manufactured recording. Like the original recording comes from like a Bigfoot documentary from the 70s where like they fabricated it, like they based, like they made it based off of like an eyewitness's description, like a guy made it in a studio, but like on In Search Of, like a TV show that was afterwards, they misattributed it and said that the recording was made by campers. So Bigfoot people have taken it and like taken that call and like out of context and said that that's an authentic call and blasted it into woods just like this. Yeah. When it's like 100% fake, it's not a real call.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's not real.
You know what?
Yeah, so like they just, at a certain point, like they just don't care.
There's this really famous movie, Ralph, called The Legend of Boggy Creek that came out in 1972, and that kind of like really created a lot of the cultural motifs around Bigfoot for a lot of people. And some of the sounds of how he sound basically come from that movie. You know, people are like, that's how he sounds in the fucking movie. That's how he sounds in real life. You know,
that one has a kick-ass soundtrack.
Legends of Boggy Creek's a good movie. Like,
with that one has a Travis Crabtree. Yeah, there you go. Look it up, kids. Look at that song. That's a good one.
That movie had a budget of only $1,600. So,
wow.
And it made $20 million.
Had a huge impact.
The poster is awesome.
Yeah, it's
in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's a fucking hit.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want a movie that costs like 10 cents and, you know, makes a lot of money like that. Yeah, $20.
That's why they make those horror movies.
Yeah, that's why they make Paranormal Activity. Costs 10 cents to make.
Yeah.
Makes $100 million. Right. Like going back to the whole, like, they hang a sack in the woods or whatever and, like, attach a camera to a tree. There were, like, comments under the video, like, I don't think Bigfoot would respond to that. I think the Bigfoot would know. And like, that's why the Bigfoot doesn't show up. I'm like, are we really like discussing like what a Bigfoot would be thinking? It's like, it's not.
They do that all the time. Uh-huh. They like bury their dead. Bigfoot like can identify trail cams and avoid them.
Yeah, like Bigfoot's really smart apparently.
Well, there are some people, Ralph, who believe Bigfoot has paranormal abilities.
Yeah,
he can travel through portals and shit. So
I've seen one where like Bigfoot can like possess people or like get in their brains, you know, like literally possess them, make them go crazy.
I think they mentioned that it was in one of the Native American stories. So
they try to tone that down though, because they don't, the Monster Quest people don't really like that.
Yeah, because they want a material, they want a materialist answer, because they want us to respect them is what they want. They want all the science nerds to be like, wow, you guys did it, you know, but we're not gonna. So that's Dr. Briggs, who's apparently like a veterinarian. And that river they go to, right? Like, so basically Briggs, he's the guy, he heard one of these whoops or hollers in the woods. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck that is. It must be Bigfoot, you know? So that's his like anecdotal story of seeing Bigfoot. So they talk to him and they go to this river. But yeah, it's an hour away from my house. It's not that far. So like, you know, I live up here. I haven't seen the dude, but they just go down up this trail and then they're like all freaked out because like they see some footsteps up the trail after they thought nobody had been up there for like a year or two, which is kind of funny because like people go hunting up in the area all the time, you know? So like, it's not that big of a deal that people are there. They act like it's some secluded secret wilderness, you know? But they go all the way up the trail. They put the food there. They put the camera traps. That's a big thing on the show, by the way, Ralph. A lot of camera traps.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I don't know how they decide what food Bigfoot likes, you know?
But I told you about that when I went to the Bigfoot Museum. They like mice wrapped grass, like a present or whatever, something like that. There is, Ralph, I went to this museum and there was a list of clearly defined things Bigfoot eats. And one of it was like mice wrapped in grass or something like that. It was like, what?
Yeah, I love like what people come up with. Like, because I don't know where they get this shit from. I honestly have no idea. Like, I have no fucking clue. Like, where
the first-hand accounts. They saw Bigfoot, obviously. I mean, they wouldn't lie.
I just couldn't get any video of him.
Yeah, well, it's hard. It's not like people have access to video cameras all the time. You know, Ralph.
They're expensive. Now. Yeah, especially now. Like 20 years ago or whatever, but now everyone has an iPhone. Like, even if you were just some guy stumbling around the woods and you saw like a Bigfoot, because I think that's like how people say, like, you can't try to find Bigfoot. All the accounts of him from like supposedly real people are like just random people who like happen to see him. Like, you could always just pull out your iPhone and take a picture of him and like get something, but
he can sense iPhones.
Yeah, he can sense.
he can't sense Android phones though. So
yeah, he's like an EMP thing.
Yeah.
Something. He like shuts off your phone.
Like
he's like the creature in Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe he's like Chuck McGill and he's sensitive to.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, Jimmy. Don't you know by now this is real?
This chicanery?
It'll never change.
He defecated through a sunroof.
He did do that though. Like, you know, that's not the best.
Yeah, Bigfoot did that.
I'm just picturing now, like, Better Call Saul, a Bigfoot crossover, like Jimmy scams Bigfoot or something like that. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. That's something like Jimmy would totally do.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, like that guy who's like, he has to keep his house like from getting torn down by like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We spotted Bigfoot here and like a crowd of people come along. Like, yeah, you could totally do something like that.
So we had like the world expert on Bigfoot on our show, right? Like the guy, you've probably seen him. His name is Jeff. He's on a lot of these Bigfoot shows all the time, like literally hundreds of IMDb hits for this guy. And he because he's an actual scientist and he actually teaches a class and he really believes in Bigfoot. And like there's this one guy who's a known hoaxer, right? Like, we know has faked a lot of footprints. And he found, apparently, these one footprints called the Cripplefoot Bigfoot because it has a weird, like, broken foot. And this Bigfoot expert says that that's real. It's 100% real. He knows it's real. He can tell it's a real footprint, even though the guy is a famous known hoaxer. And he admits he's a known hoaxer. And he's the one who found the prints. And he still believes they're real. So, like, these people over they really believe it, man.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah. that's what I basically, when I was talking to him, like, I'm like, you still think that's real? And he's like, yeah, man, absolutely. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, there's multiple Bigfoots too. There's not just like one Bigfoot like out there. There's like a bunch of Bigfoots.
Hopefully.
There's a breeding population. And then, like, didn't Jeff talk about how, like, there's subgroups? Like, there's a Texas group and, like, a...
Yeah, because I was like, asked him, I was like, well... Subspecies? I was like, but they find them in Texas, and they find them in, like, fucking South Dakota, and they find them in Washington. Like, what the hell's up with that? And he's just like, oh, yeah, they're different species of Bigfoot. I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool. Like, find one, man.
Yeah.
But so they talk to some of these tribes. They go to the Tule River, right? And the Tule people. And they've been in Southern California for thousands and thousands of years, you know, great hunters, fishers. They harvest lots of acorns, known for their basket weaving. You know, they've been down there for a long time, and they run the kind of like the river resort there now, and they have like their, you know, the tribes there and everything. So they go talk to them about Bigfoot, right? Mm-hmm. And they have some anecdotal stories about Bigfoot, and you know,
the thing is we're getting Kathy's version of what the Thule River tribe says about their own myths. And I've read Kathy's book.
Okay,
and I don't trust Kathy.
Hold on.
Should we get into this?
Fuck the format. Okay, so basically, they go talk to the Thule people. Now, the Thule people have this painted rock area, right, called Painted Cave.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit off the reservation. You have to walk to it. And inside there, they have this really beautiful cave art. Right here, I'll show it. Have you seen it, Ralph? They show it much in the episode.
It's in the episode.
I don't think they show it too much, but I'll show you.
They show some paintings in the episode that are like kind of. Like,
yeah, I think you saw it then. Yeah, it's like it's rock art of of little beings, little creatures, or humanoids.
Yeah, and so you know they have all these different animals, right? You got there's an eagle, a hummingbird, a turtle, an owl, and then there's Perry Man, right?
Or Maya Gadot.
Yeah, Maya Daktat is his name.
Yeah, that's what I saw in the episode. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a cool name.
Which is not is so the thing is I've actually interviewed the Thule River tribe people, like a representative, and that's not its real name. Mm-hmm. The real name is only available to people within the tribe.
Mm, that's interesting. Wow.
It's very religious being and very sacred. So yeah, I could get into this later.
Well, let's say they have this really cool like Croatian mythology, right? Like this origin of people mythology with like fish and hummingbird and everything. Do we want to say that or should we just mention it?
Yeah, like the stories of associated with Mike Data.
Just say the thing you want to say. You have something ready, so it's fine. I'll just edit it. It's fine. You have a thing you want to say about this. Well, just say what you want to say. I'll edit it. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is like the version Kathy gives is very misleading, and so the hairy man is a spiritual being. And this is very clear. The Thule River tribe like explicitly has told Kathy not to say that it's like a monster Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And the vibe that I got, the impression that I got, is that they're not the biggest fan of Kathy and what she's done for their culture. And they don't like how she's handling it. That's my interpretation of the information I was given.
So basically Kathy, did she go to the actual cave? I know she went talk to the tribe.
Yeah. So she talked to the tribe and in her book, she recorded in, I think like the 1990s, creation myths and stories relating to the painted rock.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. So basically like she goes, she talks, like you said, right. But like there's other interpretations for what this character is like the episode's trying to say that Hairy Man shows that Bigfoot was around in a Native American lore. Right. And that other tribes have like these large characters that are, you know, larger than a man, have hair on them, I guess. And so this must be Bigfoot, but Trey, you understand in your research that there's another explanation for this Hairy Man finding, right? That it's not necessarily a Bigfoot in their lore.
Yeah. Well, the thing is they talk about, so like they name a whole bunch of names of creatures in mythologies and folklore of different tribes. They name, I wrote them down. They name Stick Indians, they name Basket Woman, they name Yaya Lee.
Yeah,
I know all these. I've read the ethnographic like we're like a anthropologist or even just like native people and like wrote down their stories for other people to listen and read to, and like the descriptions are, what do they say in it? They say they are very remarkably similar in description despite the large distances between tribes. That is not true. That's not true in the slightest. Like for instance, like Stick Indians, they have like one leg that they hop on and they like shoot bows and arrows. They're like wild, like they're almost like stuff and something out of like Greek mythology. Basket Woman is more of like a like wood, like a wild witch of like the woods, like something like Baba Yaga.
Yeah, they asked one of the natives and they mentioned that they had a story of Bigfoot basically taking you and putting you in a basket and then eating you for later.
Right. And that's the Basket Woman story. And that's something that's common in a lot of, and it's common throughout the world. Like,
sure.
Europeans had Basket Woman like stories, like witches eating kids and
stuff. Yeah. Your kid's playing, we don't want to play. You're like, fucking monster's going to eat you, kid. Get out of there, you know?
Yeah. Basket Woman's essentially like the Native American version of Hansel and Gretel, I guess. And it's like, and it's intended to be like a cautionary tale.
Sure.
To keep it's like the boogeyman to keep kids.
Yeah. Out or like Baba Yaga, like you said, you know, all the same thing.
Yeah. And Yaya Lee is was like a in their stories, he's like a talking giant. He's like an ogre. And he was killed by like a hero and his bones turned into like rocks.
Yeah, it became like the mountain. Like,
so like a lot of these are like, you know, they're mythological stories.
Yeah, they're just so stories and like legend building stories, you know.
And there's not much consistency to them. Like it's I don't know. Like when Kathy says that she says, how is it that he shares all the same characteristics and it being imaginary doesn't make much sense to
me. They also kind of make it seem like it's impossible they could share these stories anyway. Cause like we did a story a while ago about like they had obsidian from Washington State tribes over in like Lake Michigan.
Oh yeah.
You know? So like they got around, people walked around, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like, I always say this, but like people back then, they didn't have the internet. So they had a lot of time. So people just did shit, you know, like people walked and built things. It's like, it's not that amazing that people did that. So,
yeah. And stories can spread remarkably quickly.
Yeah. Especially if it's a good meme, you know, like if a story like clicks something societally or it's a good joke or, you know, it goes around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing is like, you can't trust Monster Quest or Bigfoot. I guess I'm gonna get in trouble for saying that Bigfoot believers like statements on like native mythology and folklore. You have to kind of see for yourself because they can be very misleading.
So you're telling me it's not necessarily true that Bigfoots love garlic?
I don't know about
that. It's up in the air, at least. It's up in the air.
That's funny that we did the vampire episode before this and they bring back garlic again.
Yeah. Monster Quest searches for garlic.
Yeah, it's the opposite of vampires. They love garlic.
Yeah. Maybe that's because they know they need garlic to protect them from vampires. Because like the Bigfoots have been trying to keep the vampires out of America for all these years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's your movie, Ralph.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Smith made Tusk. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. You can have it, man.
Yeah, that'll be great. Theaters next year.
So yeah, because Kevin Feeder, right, the archaeologist, he went out to the Tule Reservation, right, and they walked him up to the pictographs, and he had a guide and everything, and he saw him, and like he asked about him, and they gave him like one of their books, the book that that Kathy, what's her name,
Kathy Strange,
yeah, Kathy wrote her book about, right. Like the book, and this book was published in 1975, and this is the book that she cites in her bibliography on her first paper she wrote about this, saying that Hairy Man was Bigfoot. And in this book, it says that Hairy Man, or the one who stands on two legs, that he is a grizzly bear.
Objection!
Right.
Monster Quest is trying to do all this stuff where they're looking at Native American legends and being like, oh, these are Bigfoot, but like, they're bears.
Well, they're bears, or there's just a lot of variety in them.
Yeah, or they're mythological creatures that are just kind of large in size. Yeah.
Yeah. Other instances, it seems like it's just names for what like some Native Americans deemed like wild Indians, like what they considered like, oh, that tribe is more wild than us. Like they're savage, but they're human. Like it's
understood that. Well, like human. even if they did, like let's say they are drawings of Bigfoot, right? Like Bigfoot. You can just see as a hairy man trope, which has been in Welsh mythology. It's in Chinese mythology. It's just basically a dude out in the woods who's weird and who's hairy. That's not that big of a stretch of imagination. People invent that idea all the time. You know, right. Like it's just a weird guy that's big. There's a bunch of weird big guys. You know, I'm working on becoming a weird big guy myself. So, yeah, it's like, so what? Bring us the bones of Bigfoot, you motherfuckers. You're like, stop looking at all this stuff for evidence and just go find one.
I want like a video of him, like,
yeah, right, you
know, a 360 video, like drone footage or something. I feel like at
get
this
that
point,
fucking Mystery Steiner drone out there.
Yeah, release the drone on that shit.
Release the drone.
Yeah, we need like something.
Well, what else happened? Did they? Oh, there was a thing about analyzing audio, right? Like of screams.
Yeah. Do you remember that part, Ralph?
Yeah, I guess.
his name was maybe Dr. Joe Fox.
Yeah.
Joe Fox.
Oh, Joe Fox. Yeah. He was in his little office and they gave him some MP3s of Bigfoots and they told him to prove if they're real or fake.
Yeah.
Joe, get it out there.
What'd he come out with? What was his conclusion?
His conclusion was I listed it off here. I said Dr. Joe Fox in my notes. Number one, elk. Number two, coyote. Number three, inconclusive. Oh,
so we got an inconclusive though. So
two out of the three.
So the hunt must go on.
He said, or what did he say? He said that they weren't something that was in the region or something like that. They weren't identifiable as that. So they could just be audio from elsewhere. Who knows? That's the thing with like the context of these recordings are probably like, who knows? Who knows when they were recorded, how they were recorded.
So they also have a bunch of different eyewitness accounts, right? Of people seeing Bigfoot across the river or whatever, but that's just boilerplate shit. We got a million of those. So
like talking about those isn't.
Yeah. Who really cares? Do you have anything else to add about the hairy man story and Kathy's like research of it? Do you think that she covered that like ethically and fairly, or do you think that she was drumming it up a bit? Do you think that she's a believer and that's why she's trying to hook these stories to Bigfoot legends, or what's your take on that?
Oh, well, we know, like I listened to her on a radio show. And I'm not crazy, by the way. I've researched her for a video, YouTube video.
I'm not crazy.
I'm not stalking this lady. I'm just trying to get my information. So anyways, she is a admitted Bigfoot believer, who has seen Bigfoot multiple times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, and you know, I don't want to like say somebody's not trustworthy for that or whatever.
I'll say
but
it.
But she like in her books, she really, really bends over backwards to make certain Native American stories into what she calls Bigfoot stories. Like in her book, there's a story called like a snake with big feet.
Oh, got it. That's him.
Literally a snake with big feet. And she like does like in her footnotes, she gives like the story, the Native American version of the story, but in her foot, she has footnotes that go like, actually, like she does like, actually with this. And it's like based off of not like, there's another one that's called like the story of Iron Nose. And it's like this, myth of like this guy that lives in the woods who has a metal mask that has a long metal nose that shoots out and like stabs people.
That sounds like a One Piece villain.
Is it kind of badass? It's kind of cool, like monster. But Kathy sees that, and instead of like just like, you know, taking the details in the story as they are told, she like rationalized it, and she's like, actually, the term iron nose means a protruding face or like, very shapely features or something like that. And that's based off of absolutely nothing. There's no way she could have interviewed like the original teller of the story.
Yeah, right.
That's from like 1850 or something like that.
Yeah.
So she's literally just inserting her own rationalization.
Well, even a lot of these Native American legends, a lot of them are oral histories for, you know, to the last 100 years. So they've changed over time as well, you know?
So yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's my two cents on Kathy. And then also I know that the tribes themselves they're not the biggest fan of Kathy, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
And this happened, and so Kathy's not alone. There's other Bigfoot believers that try to use Native American stories to support their beliefs. And it's just, I don't know, if you take the time to actually sift it out and read the stories themselves instead of taking their versions of it, you'll find that it's a lot of times where they're taking details out of context. They're a lot of the descriptions are really vague. They can be interpreted like anyway, or they're just like I don't know, not intended to be realistic stories. And
there's a little bit of colonialism here, I feel like, and it kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I have proposed that a lot of, like, cryptids, like, especially Bigfoot, are kind of, like, a reflection of our, like, grief of destroying the wilderness, you know, like, in colonizing North America and stuff, because, like, we've taken a lot of the wildness out of the land. And not only that, we also committed genocide and killed a lot of people, right? Like, and we destroyed a lot of these cultures. So Bigfoot is, I think, in some ways, a symbol of that still being alive somewhat. So to take those stories about Bigfoot and then try to retroactively make, you know, pre-contact Native American culture fit into that, it's a little gross. It makes me a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Now I understand if you really honestly believe in Bigfoot, you would want to see what Native American people might have said about it or seen it, right? Because they would have probably come in contact with it. But you need to do so with a lot of, like, respect and be very careful and make sure you're not trying to make things fit after the fact, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like she's doing a good example of retrofitting. And I don't think it is evidence for Bigfoot at all. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And I've talked to the Thule River Tribe, and they explicitly say that, like, it should, Mayantata should not be interpreted as an animal.
Yeah.
It's like something more close, like how she described, like the representative described it. She said it's like something like closer to like the Holy Spirit, like I guess in like Catholicism or something. It's a spiritual thing, and like, and the thing is like, I don't know, Bigfoot believers don't really like that interpretation. They want to turn it into like a real animal.
Yes.
They just don't listen to their own sources, unfortunately.
But hey, we did get some images on the camera traps we laid, though, right? With our garlic and stuff.
Yes.
What did we get photos of? We get anything fancy there?
We got 300 photos. We got 300.
Wow. We got something.
We got deer.
Okay, that's fine.
We got raccoon.
Okay.
We got cougar.
That's kind of cool.
And then.
Oh, shit.
And then.
Oh, shit.
A brown, hairy object. Cut the commercial break.
Yep.
Come back.
What did our Monster Quest cameras find?
They finally found him.
Are you excited, Ralph? Are you excited to that on 2007, 9 p.m. airing History Channel show, Discovered Bigfoot, and you're just now learning about this?
I must have completely missed it.
Yeah, you just spaced. You were busy, man. You had a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, somebody doesn't watch all those episodes of Mystery Diner and then also have time to learn that Bigfoot was discovered. You know, it's one or the other.
Yeah, this episode came out way before my video I made on Bigfoot. But I must have missed this.
Yeah, that's okay, though. You can edit it later. It's fine. So what they find, Trey? We got him, right?
We got him. That he was. It was. It walks. So it's on the edge of the frame, and it's kind of dancing around.
Ooh.
It's a little blurry, brown thing. And then it walks in, and it's a bear.
It's a bear. Hey, so it is. It's the hairy man.
It's the hairy man from the legend.
He showed up.
The legends are true.
The legend has come to pass.
Oh man. I imagine like a second they must have thought, like when they saw that first frame, they're like, oh my god, we got him. We got him. No, it's a bear.
Yeah, I wish they did that live. That would have been great. Oh, yeah. If they were freaking out.
Just the disappointment.
Oh. Fuck. It's a bear.
Or like a moment of surprise, because they're like, wait, this shit is actually real? And then
No.
Nothing.
Well, what happened with the boat adventure? Do you guys remember that?
Okay, yeah. So they did find an animal. They went down on the boat. They turned off the motor, so it was drifting slowly down the stream at night. Yeah. They got the infrared camera on. What did they find in the infrared camera, Ralph? Do you remember?
It was just an animal.
Right? It was a cow.
Cow?
They found some cows.
Well, yeah.
So,
and then they crashed the fucking boat, right?
They found some cows, and they were so excited about the cows, the boat ran ashore. So then they had to get out of the boat and push it out, and then they were all had to camp out on the ground, and they were all fucking tired and shit. So, good night out looking for Bigfoot. LARPing in the woods as explorers. I like it, too, because they acted like they were in some, like, pristine super wilderness and nothing would be out there.
Right.
It's a bunch of fucking cows.
Right, you live near there, like it's not.
That river was the California River.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the other river, the guys who took the bait out with the camera traps to the bear, that's the one that's kind of near my house.
Oh.
I mean, it's an hour away, but you know, it's not that far. I could drive there. This show is going to be longer than an hour, right? So I could drive there and check out Bigfoot myself. So.
Yeah, disappointing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the show, I liked Dr. Briggs Hall's quote here. He was the veterinarian guy, and he said, "I'm 99% convinced they exist, and I'm willing to take the heat for that."
Yeah, take that heat,
because at some point the validity of this animal will be obvious to everybody.
What was the air date on this episode? Yeah, in the shit in July 2008 apparently is when this came out. So.
Waiting,
you know,
it's been a little bit. It's been over 10 years.
We'll find him
eventually. Yeah, that's crazy. So, what'd you think of that? That's basically our Monster Quest episode. What'd you think of the show, Ralph? Is it a winner?
I'm not convinced of the existence of Bigfoot, but there were some funny parts, like them going down the river and the sack with all the food in it. I'm gonna fucking catch them. Yeah, because I'm used to the shows of them just like going out there, like trying to shoot him or whatever. So that was fun. it's like fun to watch, but it's not convincing. I wasn't convinced. Yeah, it was cool to learn a little bit about like the Native American stuff. That was cool.
Yeah, because some of that is kind of true. You know, like there's some cool legend stuff. They're just not Bigfoot. Yeah,
the painting.
Yeah,
that's cool. But yeah, like I'm not convinced Bigfoot is like a real thing at this point. so you're gonna have to keep trying, a Bigfoot expert.
Damn, I'll let him know. I'll message Doug, the producer of the show, and tell him that he needs to get back in the lab.
I mean, to be fair, I'm very skeptical, so it might just be like my my bias, my bias of reality.
Just anti Bigfoot.
Anti fake.
Fucking History Channel bullshit.
Pro real life.
Yeah,
pro real life.
Yeah, that's good, man. So where would you rate this episode one out of ten?
Well, I gotta give it a one because they didn't find Bigfoot at the end of it.
Damn, that's rough. You're gonna rate all but one of the episodes a one then, because there's only one episode they found anything. So,
oh really? They found something.
Yeah. There's 68 episodes of this show. We've done about 25, 26 of them now, and the one episode they find a giant squid that wasn't supposed to be where it was, and it was like hella big. So,
oh,
like,
okay, they didn't find a giant squid.
Yeah. Because it was in this.
I haven't seen it.
It was impressive. They used like they used squid cam. They put a little camera on a squid and it went down
squid cam. Wow.
Into like the abyssal zone where it's dark, pitch black.
Well, yeah, Ralph knows about squid cam. He went to film school. They teach you about squid cam like day one. Yeah, you know?
Cam, is that like a technique?
Yeah.
So they use squid game. They use squid cam.
Squid cam.
That's how they film Jaws, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Steven Spielberg invented the squid cam.
He invented the squid eye lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Trey. What are you giving it?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I got a bone to pick with Kathy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm being mean to Kathy.
It's fine.
I'd say like I'll give it like a 4-3.
Okay. Yeah.
And most of that is the CGI model that they made. Somebody made a new CGI Bigfoot model just for this.
Oh, yeah, and they have him throwing a rock. There's the story where he throws a rock at the water. And like,
that was funny, too.
Isn't like an important story, really, in the episode. I don't know why that's the CGI. But, yeah. Bigfoot chucks rocks. I'll give it a 4, I guess. I like that they tried to like talk to some of the native people and like go to their reservation and like try to include some of their stuff, but I think they did it pretty poorly. I don't really give a shit about the anecdotal stories. I do like that they drifted down the river at night with a bunch of idiots in their boat, because that was kind of dangerous and kind of fun, and someone could have got hurt, so I like that. But yeah,
I like that. I think somebody could have gotten hurt.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll give it a 4. It's on the IMDb, it's listed as the 17th best episode out of 68. So,
well, I guess it's not that impressive.
Yeah. The last episode on the list, by the way, Ralph, is Vampires in America. And the number one rated episode is Giant Squid Found. So,
that's
the range for Monster Quest. Yeah.
Okay. I'm interested in the vampire one.
All right. We got any good comments on the YouTube video for this fucking thing?
There's people like saying like Bigfoot would never fall for a trap like that.
Like, my boy would never be caught by these fucking cops out there.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah.
Listen to what the natives are saying in this video. They're 100% right about Bigfoot. Thanks. Love this. Be safe, everybody.
Saint Francis of Assia had this amazing ability to speak with animals. He once talked a wolf out of eating him. I wouldn't be surprised if he crossed paths with Bigfoots a few times. Huh. Wow. Weird. That's cool. That guy seems pretty rad. I'm sure he really did that. So, yeah. Fucking Bigfoot. Well, we didn't find him, but we did talk about some idiots. And we talked to Ralph. That was good. We like Ralph.
Yeah.
Talk about movies. Cool. Yeah. I'm looking at some comments. Apparently, Bigfoot bury their dead.
Yeah, that's a thing. Because we say, well, where are the bones? And they're like, oh, well, they bury their dead, idiot. Don't you know that? I'm like, yeah, well, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't fucking know, man. So
yeah, that's funny. Like, a couple of people are pointing that out. Yeah,
when they feel sick, they're known to like go to caves and hide inside them so nobody finds their bodies. Like, they preemptively know when they're going to die.
Very convenient.
Yeah.
Secretive creatures.
So no Bigfoot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Ralph. I didn't know if you thought we were going to let you know we found the guy. So
I'm not disappointed. It's what I expected, but you know, maybe I'm always slightly disappointed because I'm like, maybe this is the one, maybe this is the time they find him, but no. You know,
it's like dating. Maybe this is the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Trey. He's that's been your life the last few months.
But I'm mildly disappointed.
Yeah,
you move on. You push forward.
There's some of these kind of creatures, Ralph, but there's like a non-zero chance. I'm not saying like a 1% chance, but there's like a non-zero chance I could find like the thylacine could possibly maybe be found. You know, so there's like a few of these people search for that aren't 100% impossible, but
yeah, I can't believe you could find like a big squid.
Yeah, well, like the thylacine was like this real animal that went extinct like 100 or something years ago because we killed them all. But some people say they still see them, you know. So like, that's not impossible, but it's getting pretty unlikely as the years go by. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm pretty sure there were never any Bigfoots running around. So
yeah,
which is disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. Finally,
so is. Yeah. Is your next movie going to be about a guy who looks for Bigfoot and what that means about his life?
Yeah.
That's good. People can look forward to that.
Stink ape. He'd be looking for a stink ape in the woods.
Skunk ape, yeah.
Stink ape?
I think it's called stink ape, too. It's skunk ape. It's like different. It goes under different names.
I call them skank squatch, but I think that wasn't what they called them.
Skank squatch. Yeah. And then he goes down the river and makes up calls and you know, puts it in his CD binder. He has a CD binder of stink ape calls.
It'll be like Garden State, but with, you know, Bigfoot.
Are there any Bigfoot movies out there besides like
there's a few. There was one kind of recently from what I remember. It's like some like notable director made it.
Have you seen the famous skunk ape photo, by the way?
No.
Okay. I sent it to you in chat. Like
Florida, right?
Yeah, I just sent it to you in the chat.
I just learned about skunk apes, so.
There he is. You excited to see him?
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's a good reaction.
Scary.
There he is. That's the famous photo that they always post.
Yeah, weird.
It's definitely real, so.
that looks 100% real.
So the thing that's funny is see how the eyes are shining? Like, none of the apes have that eye shine. But like all these models they take photos of always do because like fake eyes have that. So
yeah, maybe it's like the lens or like, you know,
like when deer have eye shine, you know, but
yeah, like when you flash a camera. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know. There's like a few. I think it's Willow Creek. Yeah. Bobcat Goldthwait made Willow Creek. That's from 2013.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out.
He directed World's Greatest Dad and God Bless America. He directed like a really good documentary on him. On like a what's that comedian? Barry Crimmins, is that it?
I don't know.
You call me, like, yeah, Barry Crimmins. Yeah,
okay.
That was a good documentary. But yeah, like, he made this movie about Bigfoot for some reason. It's like, I think it's like a found footage movie or something.
There's this one Bigfoot documentary that starts out with a guy drumming in the woods because he says Bigfoot love drums.
Of course.
Yeah, because they like the wood knock, apparently.
They're like, so. They're like J.K. Simmons. They love drumming.
Yeah.
I caught awesome. My tempo.
Well, Ralph, thanks for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
I had a great time learning about Bigfoot.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad we can educate you.
Very fun. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. We like to talk about some like real science and shit on the show sometimes, but I guess this episode was a Bigfoot episode with Ralph. So
who needs real science? I mean,
yeah, fuck it.
That stuff's boring. Yeah.
Well, fun. Sweet, man. It was really nice to meet you, dude. I like all your stuff. I'll listen to your film reviews.
Thank you. I'll be sure to check out your stuff, too.
Yeah, I just got some comic books, you know. I know that people don't like comic books anymore. They just like comic book movies, but, you know.
Yeah.
Someone has to make the comic books they make the movies out of, so.
Exactly. I love comic book movies.
Yeah, same here. It's been awesome having you on our show.
Thank you, Trey.
Yeah. Well, sweet, man. Have a good night, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Right, take care.
The end. Bye. Shrek. Happy Shrek.
Goodbye.
There's Shrek.
That's how I end my podcast usually. I go, happy Shrek.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite Shrek movie after number one?
Number two.
Oh, it's sure. Yeah. Fair enough.
Two might be better than one. I don't know if that's a controversial. Ooh.
Oh, shit.
I am of a like mind there.
Yeah. I saw that movie in theaters when it came out and have not seen it since. So I don't know.
Shrek the Third's the worst one. It's a big turd.
When does Puss in Boots show up?
Shrek 2.
Okay, so that's probably the best one.
Shrek the Third. So I saw that in theaters with my parents. I was like embarrassed. Yeah. It was like one of the first movies I was embarrassed to watch.
The third one? People around me. The third one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
How many are there now?
Five or something?
Yeah, what?
Kind of Puss in Boots is five.
Yeah, and then they're making a new Puss in Boots movie, right?
I think it's counting. Oh no, it isn't. That's because it's four Shreks and then a Puss in Boots. Oh, sorry. There's a Puss in Boots, and then they're making another one. So that would be six. And then I think Illumination is like rebooting Shrek.
Illumination is awful, dude.
I fucking hate Illumination.
Like they just make the those Sing movies are like, oh, just fuck you.
Man. The hot movie. Straight from the video on like ranking the Illumination movies, put that at the bottom. I'm like, yeah, this might be the worst one. It's like them trying to make like, oh, we're gonna make an Easter movie.
Like, oh, yeah, fuck that, man. Jesus. Okay, I'm gonna get food. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Cheers, man.
Bring us the bones of Bigfoot, you motherfuckers.